about. You gotta put it in perspective.
Well then, let's get on with the show. Ladies and gentlemen, some rock and roll.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
It's a bizarre story about an attempted rape. Apparently a dude climbed in the window and tried to get in bed with this guy's sister.
Mm-hmm.
And she beat him off.
Whoa,
she beat him
whoa,
up. She beat
whoa.
Him up. She beat him
that
up.
That is not how I heard the story.
She beat him up no. and scared him off.
That would I change the whole
thing. That's what I mean.
I thought he left unsatisfied.
Well, that's what happened. That is
league
what
officials
happened.
Said soccer was just tired of pretending to be something it's not. Deep down, soccer is about a bunch of guys running around not touching a polka dot ball with their
yep.
hands. It shouldn't have to hide how gay it is.
Now, will this change the way the game is played?
No. If anything, I think we'll see a firmer commitment to the gayest parts of soccer.
Interesting.
Players will feel free now to do their bicycle kicks,
okay.
juggle the ball with their knees, and generally just be as gay as they want to be without worrying what people think.
Are you celibate?
If there's a woman who will buy a bit, I'll sell a bit.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Do they do stuff to your butt?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Whoa, hot.
Roll another one.
Oh, God, when is this gonna end?
Just like the other one.
I beg your pardon.
This one seems to be about to quit.
That is weak.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Man.
Mayonnaise.
Roll another one.
Hey, first of all, you motherfucker.
Just like the other one.
You know, you can't hate black people, right?
This one seems to be about to end.
This is a mess.
I don't have another cent.
You girls need to shake your booty. Shake your booty.
Somebody order a hooker over?
Just pass it around.
This was a complete disaster.
I want to be John Goodman.
Just pass it on down.
And now.
Give me 10 cc's of penicillin. Penicillin.
What the hell is that? What is penicillin?
Penicillin. Penicillin. Oh. What the hell is that?
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It is the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's Friday morning.
Not only Friday morning, ladies and gentlemen, it is, in fact, the 8th of Rocktober.
1, 2, 3, 4!
Come on.
Yay!
Come on with that. That's a strong start. You can tell that's a band that has already played a day. That's a band that has a day under its belt because that sounded rehearsed and great compared to last week.
When you get the groove.
I know. That's what it is, man. We're unstoppable at this point.
Right.
Mel Fon, as you know, makes an appearance every Rocktober here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Only on Fridays, though.
Yeah. Well, on Fridays. Well, we would rock you too hard if we did it every day of the week. Let's face it. People would be able to go to work or anything like that. All right. Let's move on. We'll take your phone calls at Kevin and Bean's What Is Your Deal? Or would you do, if you prefer, at 1-800-520-1067.
I don't prefer that.
That is the telephone number. First, though, have you guys been following this awesome story out of Duke University about a student there named Karen Owen? Have you guys seen this?
No.
Don't think so.
She's a smarty pants and thought it would be funny to pretend she was writing a senior thesis that she would only mail to her friends that gave excruciatingly accurate details about everyone that she had sex with while she attended Duke University.
All right. So I have heard this.
all 13 men that she slept with, she wrote it up as if it were a scientific paper and talked about how they met and what they did and the details, incredibly intimate details of everything that they did and her evaluation of it, and just did the whole thing as a kind of a goof for her friends. Well, what have we been telling people about stuff you put on the internet, Kevin?
It's private.
Exactly. It's private and no one will ever see it. She forwarded this 42-slide PowerPoint presentation that included details of sex in the university library during finals week, sex in cars, sex while drunk. I mean, every detail you can want to know about every single hookup, including pictures of the guys, their full names, first and last.
Wow, good times.
The classes, a lot of them are on the Duke lacrosse team, which has had enough problems in recent years. So she forwarded this to three friends who thought it was so entertaining that they all forwarded it to their friends. And the next thing you know, it ends up on everybody's Facebook. And
isn't
then it's everywhere.
Duke considered a good school?
Yes.
It was.
Okay, so don't you have to
Duke's
have
going downhill fast.
Don't you have it to is. Have a brain in your head? I mean, can't you see that coming back to bite you in the ass?
She was a busy little bee.
Immediately.
Academically, Duke is one of the best schools in the country, but they have had more than their share of problems over recent years, and many of them having to do with sex. That's the stripper, remember, that accused the lacrosse team of sexually assaulting her. It turned out she made the whole thing up. It never happened, but a lot of people still kind of remember that image for Duke as being kind of a crazy, wild party school.
Yeah.
Is 13, is that, I don't think that's a crazy amount for 4 years of school, though.
No.
She was lazy.
She could have done better.
I
she could have done
more.
Seriously, 13. Come on,
but
now.
you want to be the she's
not
attractive
really.
Too.
That's a high number for a hot college chick. But like drunk ugly girls will bang a lot more.
By the way, if you have your choice, you want to be the guy who she talks about the next day how she couldn't walk, rather than the guy who wow it was over before I knew it happened.
She had because both of those in there.
She had both of those. She had a little bit of everything. A lot of different experiences. By the way, the PS on this, and I don't know how it's going to eventually shake down, but the PS on this is HarperCollins has contacted her.
All right.
Because she, according to them, is a very good, funny writer, and I wonder if she has any interest in writing a book. So there may be an upside for her after all this. She's already gone on TV apologizing for the whole thing, saying she never meant to embarrass anybody. It was supposed to be private, and she's really, really sorry, and blah, 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 blah. But hilarious story and well worth the read, by the way. You can find it almost anywhere if you just do a Google search on it.
How long do you think it's going to take before people understand that if you send one person something on the internet, it's very possible that it'll get to everyone?
I don't know the answer to that, Kevin, but apparently the lesson has not yet been learned.
Wow.
She trusted those friends.
Well, she shouldn't.
That's
all right.
The problem.
Time for your phone calls. You can call on any topic, 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
Got a copy of Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, the Rich Mahogany Edition on Blu-ray just for you. Kevin, have you picked up your copy yet? It's your favorite movie of all time.
I actually ordered it yesterday, yes.
I don't have any extras laying around, so we're giving them away.
Can't get one.
But I had to order it, yeah.
Well, it is available in stores now on DVD and Blu-ray. This is the Blu-ray edition, and that's what you get for giving us a call at 1-800-520-1067. Pick up the phone, especially if you've never called us before. We'd love to hear from you. Whatever you want to talk about is fine. Here's Eric to get us started. He's on line one.
Yeah, Eric!
What it do? You guys hear about the accident last night on Knott's Scary Farm?
I did.
Yeah, what happened?
I was just actually reading up on it, and the details were kind of sketchy last night. But apparently, the Pony Express roller coaster, it's over by Bigfoot Rapids.
Right.
Anyway, the ride launches you. Apparently, one of the trains was launched. And as it was launched, the other train comes into the dock there to unload and load new passengers. Well, the train that was launched didn't make it over the hill, rolled backwards, and slammed into the parked train in the loading dock.
Luckily, that train was empty. Because I think it would have been much worse if it had been, right?
But still 10 people got hurt, even though it was really just rolling backwards, right?
Well, what I read was is that one person on the parked train was hurt, so I don't know. Maybe
there was someone on there?
That's what I read. But one person.
Well, it's not nearly as bad as I feared it was. When I saw the headline, I thought these were two trains that were going full speed that are supposed to that cross the same part of the track and they had collided or something. If it was really just going up to the hill, not making it rolling back, man, it could have been a whole lot worse than that.
Yeah, and they're not strange to this. I don't know if you remember, was it a year or two ago, Accelerator, the launching cable actually snapped and cut some kid's leg. You remember that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Well, hey, roller coasters are a death trap, man. That's why we go on them.
Yeah, right.
That's really scary.
That's the thrill of it.
You want to take your lives into your own hand. You want to imagine that, you pray that the roller coaster is still going to be on the tracks when the ride ends. That's all. Thank you for the call, Eric.
Yeah, Eric.
Let's move on now to Hector. Hector's on line two. Hey, Hector. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What'd it do,
nephew?
What'd it do?
What's going on?
Hey, I had to... This black guy show up to my house at like 9:30 in the morning, absolutely in the PM, in his underwear.
What?
Yeah, and the crazy thing, my mom screams, I run out to the living room, and I'm in my underwear, and she's like, what's going on here? I run up to the door, and this black man's about 6 feet tall in his underwear, and I'm like...
You're in your underwear, and he's in his underwear.
Well, yeah.
Hector's making up a story, by the way, about this guy just showed up at the door. I think what happened is his mom came out. Hector and the other guy are standing there in their underwear, and he's got some splaining to do. Yeah. That's what's going on here.
Son, what's happening?
I'm freaking out. I'm like, what's going on? I was like, okay, I need to put on some pants here. So I run back, put on some pants. I come back to the door, and I look, and it's my neighbor from upstairs.
Okay.
Turns out, I say, hey, you need to go home. And he's like, you know me? Turns out that it was my neighbor. He has dementia. He's an old man.
Oh, wow. An old
man
in underwear.
And he was just confused? He just thought he was coming to his own house? Is that what happened?
Yeah. His wife fell asleep, and I guess I must have thought that he was going to the bathroom and walked outside.
Oh,
so I don't know how long he was in the street.
Good times.
That's sad.
There's nothing better than an old man in underwear.
He doesn't know where he is.
Does not know where he's at. Oh. And,
at least you ran from him and closed the door and ran and put on pants. That was good.
Yeah, exactly. That would have been kind of awkward. So I tell my wife, I'm like, call his wife, let him know, he's down here in his drawers. She gets on the phone.
All right, this story has to be over, Hector. I'm sorry. You've already told us the best part. There can't be more to
all right,
it.
What happened? Did he get home?
I had to walk him up the stairs in his underwear. It was
all
like
right.
The most awkward thing.
Good time. Did you have to hold his hand?
I'm sorry?
Did you have to hold his hand? And did you give him a goodnight kiss before you went inside?
Yeah. I helped him put on his PJs.
You did. Okay, good. Thank you for the call.
That was nice, Hector.
Okay. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I don't even... What's the point of that?
Just, saying what's on today's show. That's all. A famous person ruined your life because they have your name.
Oh, you mean you share... Okay. There's a Richard Ramirez.
Yes.
Gotcha.
There's a dude named Justin Bieber. And it's not the Justin Bieber. It's just a Justin Bieber.
How sad.
And he gets mail by the boatload.
They keep kicking him off of Facebook because they think he is impersonating the famous Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
Oh, that's got to be hard.
We have a Jersey Shore recap this morning.
Okay.
We have Luke from QuakePrediction.com.
Yeah! I know that's all you care about today, Kevin.
Well, we were supposed to have did he say it was 6 to 7 again this time?
I think so.
Yeah, 6.0 to 7.0 earthquake yesterday and the day before, just like last week, last Thursday and Friday. And we're going to get him on the phone, and he's going to say, oh, well,
he's fine-tuned it now. It's going to be next week.
I've gotten a little more info, and he's going to tell us it's Monday, Tuesday. That's how it works.
Oh, my God, there's an earthquake!
We have Jonesy in studio.
Yeah.
How about that?
Lead
Steve
guitarist.
Jones.
Yep. We have Andrew Siciliano talking sports, and we have Mr. Movie Phone doing the movie beat today.
Great.
So that's all coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break and come back with the showbiz beat next.
That man, by the way, Neon Trees, is going to be joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show, I think maybe as soon as next week, performing that song live in our studio. Looking forward to that. Time for our first look at the Friday showbiz, but first, hey, isn't it Rocktober, you guys?
1, 2, 3, 4!
By the way, Mike, a little bit of a Rip Shredmaster. A little Rip Shredmaster coming through on the guitar playing today. Well done. Well done, my friend. All right, time to take a look at the Showbiz Beat. Ralph will be back on Monday. In the meantime, we are filling in. When you were 16 years old, Kevin, if you had a job, how much do you think you were making at the time?
Oh, whatever minimum wage was.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're lucky to be making minimum wage. I think I might have been babysitting for less than that when I was 16.
You were babysitting?
Oh, I babysat a lot growing up.
Oh, yeah. Really? God. I hated babysitting.
Yeah, but can you imagine being?
That's what I mean.
He hates kids.
I know.
I don't hate kids. I just don't like being around them.
Shut up, kid. Well, then that's maybe babysitting isn't for you.
Well, I bring up the case of Angus T. Jones. If you know the name, there's something wrong with you. He's the kid that no one tunes into 2.5 Men to see. Let's be honest.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
He just is the plot line for why the uncle and the father are hanging out together, right?
Right, yeah.
Well, TMZ reported the deal was done earlier this year, but now it can be revealed that his contract that he signed earlier this year is for $300,000 per episode.
Not bad.
He signed a 26-episode deal for $300,000 an episode, plus a $500,000 signing bonus, by the way, as if Angus T. Jones was going to leave the show, by the way.
Wow.
As if they had to pour all this money on him because he was going to take his considerable name recognition and go somewhere else, right?
That would ruin the show.
He'll make $7.8 million over the next two seasons.
Wow.
By the way, Angus is 17 today.
Wow.
And that's what his future looks like.
Not
$7.8 million.
I'm so glad I didn't have that much money when I was that old. I would be dead.
You would be dead now.
But what a life.
What a life.
How much would you have enjoyed it, seriously?
Nicole Richie and Joel Madden are getting married. And apparently somebody brought up the idea, of course, of having Lionel Richie sing.
Of course.
Because that's Nicole's dad.
Right.
Yeah, you got a superstar entertainer in the family. Why not take advantage of that for the ceremony? Sure.
And he does, you know, mushy love songs.
Right.
Right.
Perfect for weddings. She said, I am not down with that. She wouldn't have any part of it. Nope, not my dad. He's not singing.
Yeah, she's probably been under his shadow
her whole life.
But
she told that to E! Online. I mean, it's not like she just said it in private. I mean, she's going out to the press going, no way is my dad going to be singing.
She's got to be sick of Lionel Richie songs.
Of course.
At this point. By the way, I don't watch Chuck. I like the show. I have seen it. It's just not what I'm able to make time for. But isn't that the one that she's on in a recurring role? Apparently, she's very good on it.
I think so, yeah.
Oh,
yeah, I hear she's turned into quite a nice little actress. Here we go. We've got a Jersey Shore update coming up later on. We'll talk to the quote-unquote situation. Apparently, she has given an interview as to why, as to how happy she is for finally, Angelina has given an interview about how happy she is to leave the Jersey Shore. You know, she was kicked off again for a second time on last week's episode. She told Us Weekly that the situation and Vinny G called her a whale and that people in the house would leave things in her bed when she was out. She found a condom covered in whipped cream on one occasion. They poured olive oil into her bed, grated cheese another time. She says she's so glad to be back at home in New Jersey living with her mom. She says her head is effed up as a result of being on the show. And she's in therapy over the drama.
Therapy?
Well, they should all be in therapy.
That is probably true. Yes. But,
Wow, they really tortured her.
That doesn't sound like much fun for Angelina.
No.
No.
Why did they kick her off? Was she just boring?
I don't know. They kicked her off because she's always gossiping, and she was just a bad person. Like, she was the one of she was that girl who came in and said, like, I know I'm hot, so you should all...
Was she hot?
No. She was by far, I mean, besides Snooki, which doesn't even count, but by far the least attractive in the house.
Yeah.
But all she said they should bow down? Yeah, and look, those guys, their whole purpose in life is to bang a bunch of different chicks.
Right.
And so when they would do so, she would go around talking about the different girls they would bang. And that destroys their whole game. So, I mean, they were definitely against her.
Well, we don't want to do that.
Shut her damn mouth. She's got some nerve. Somebody on that show not shutting their mouth.
Yeah.
Let's see. Beatrice DeLapp is the name of a 9-year-old. Sat down and sent a note to Johnny Depp as Captain Jack Sparrow, requesting that he show up to her class to help her mutiny against her teachers.
Oh, I love this. Yes.
Johnny Depp got the letter. He's filming right now the 4th installment of Pirates of the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
Caribbean. And he showed up in costume at the class.
That's the best ever.
How crazy is that? He visited an elementary school in London dressed in full costume as Captain Jack Sparrow.
Why is he the coolest?
I don't know. He arrived at the girl's classroom, gave her a hug, and said in character, maybe we shouldn't mutiny today because there are police outside monitoring me. Maybe this is not a good time to do
but
that.
But another day I will be back.
Right.
Coolest guy ever. Mm-hmm. He's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Amazing. Here's a piece of tape you'll enjoy very much. We have been, ever since Steven Tyler's name was thrown into the hat and eventually he was hired as a judge on the new season of American Idol, we have called her that old woman because if you've seen Steven Tyler lately, she looks like an old woman, right?
Yes.
And not a good one, not a good looking one.
No. David Archuleta, who I believe was a runner-up on a past season of American Idol, was on the Wendy Williams show and she asked about the new judges and showed a picture of the new judges to David Archuleta and he made the same mistake.
So, you know, discovered on American Idol, David was. What do you think about the new judges before we talk about the rest of what's going on with your life?
The new judges, I'm kind of excited. I'm looking forward to seeing... Who's that other girl? Is there another girl? Are there four judges?
That'd be Steven Tyler.
Okay. No, sorry, I was looking at...
So apparently we're not the only ones who every time we see Steven Tyler wonder who the old woman is.
Oh,
he
man.
Sounded serious, didn't
I
he?
I know.
He was serious.
He
but
wasn't being funny.
He then went on to claim that he met Jennifer Lopez. He was wondering, but clearly he knows who Jennifer Lopez is.
Yeah, right, of course.
Because so. Steven Tyler, it's kind of sad.
Yeah. Looks like Kim Kardashian has given up on athletes.
Wendell.
At least for
the moment.
Okay, where'd she go?
She went to actors. Uh-huh. She told In Touch Weekly that she's dating Michael Kapan. I don't know how you say his name.
Don't know who that is.
He's an actor and a musician best known for his work on One Tree Hill. So, last.
Those are her choices.
Last for, you know, another week or two.
Yeah.
And then
he's still a black guy, though, right?
I am not sure. I imagine so. She does have a type.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
it ain't me.
I'm stunned that she's stepping away from athletes, but I hope she's not abandoning the brothers.
No.
Okay. This weekend on Saturday Night Live, by the way, Jane Lynch is your host. Bruno Mars is your musical guest. That's a 1-2 punch. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthday is the Crocodile Dundee himself. Actor Paul Hogan is 71. Did he make mega money from that and that's why he doesn't work anymore? Or is he broke somewhere and just can't get a job? What do you guys think?
I don't have any idea.
I thought he made a lot of money, but...
I think either way, that was a time and a place. The Crocodile Dundee movies.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what that comment even means.
Because you said, is he just sitting there hoping, like, he can't get any work? And I'm thinking,
well, that's what I was wondering.
It doesn't matter. Like, of course he
You're saying he couldn't get any work anyway.
He's a Crocodile Dundee guy. That was a time and a place, and it had a, you know.
And that fit him, and that's all he is.
The Reverend Jesse Jackson, best described as what? A guy who.
Preacher, I guess.
Yeah.
Preacher, yeah. Civil rights activist. Yeah. Former candidate for president of the United States on a couple of occasions. He turned 69 years old today. Actor, comedian Chevy Chase. Who has had quite a rebound in recent years, being on the Community TV show, turns 67. Sigourney Weaver is 61 years old today. Comedian Daryl Hammond, who was on Saturday Night Live for a bunch of years, is 55. Who else we got here? Actress Emily Proctor is 42 today. And actor, Oscar-winning screenwriter Matt Damon turns 40. And that is the Showbiz Beat. Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Next hour, Andrew Siciliano will be on with us talking about sports, a preview of the NFL weekend just ahead, plus a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame who refused to show up to be indoctrinated, by the way. Saying it was stupid. Steve Jones of the Sex Pistols is going to be joining us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, we want to talk about an unfortunate situation if you happen to share the name of a famous person. That has got to be. I mean, look, even if it's not somebody who's annoying or somebody who you hate or somebody who's everywhere, every single time you give a new person your name, they're going to make some sort of a joke or some sort of a comment about it. And you've heard it all a billion times, right?
Yeah, and when you're on the phone calling to make reservations or something.
Yeah, your name? Justin. Last name? Bieber.
And then they laugh.
Justin Bieber.
This Justin Bieber is 16 years old, is approaching 1 billion views on YouTube, and this summer was the most searched for celebrity on the internet. This Justin Bieber is 35 years old, living in a quiet Southside Jacksonville neighborhood, but his life can be noisy.
It's just a little hard to sleep at night when the phones ring constantly.
Bieber changed his number, put it in his wife's name. The teens got that number, put it on a fan website. He would get 50 messages in 2 hours.
It's messages from, hey, Justin Bieber, I love you, to you're the worst singer ever. The artist saying, I'm going to be working with you this week. And I'm saying, no, you're not. You don't want to work with me singing.
What has him angry now is after 6 months, he got kicked off Facebook for having a fake name.
The one good thing that's come out of this is now everybody can actually say my name. Before, everybody always said Justin Bieber.
That is good news.
Oh, there's an upside, yeah. I guess.
Sure.
But, I mean, I'm just thinking what it's like to be that poor guy who had... Justin Bieber, those words meant nothing until 2 years ago.
Right.
And he never had a problem with that. And then all of a sudden, maybe he hears, hey, there's this singer who has your same name. But what are the chances that this kid from YouTube is ever going to be a problem? And then the next thing you know, he grows up to be one of the biggest stars in music. And now you're hooked for life.
And Justin Bieber is how old? 16?
16, yeah.
Yeah.
This guy's 35.
Yeah.
So he lived most of his, he lived 33 years in peace.
In happy bliss.
And then Justin Bieber came along and they showed him opening just boxes of mail. Literally just boxes full of letters and his emails just crazy exploding. And they took him off Facebook. It's just, what a nightmare.
It is bizarre.
I just wonder if his fans really think that Justin Bieber is listed in the phone book, too, by the way.
Yeah,
when they call.
That doesn't make sense either. But here's what's funny is that he changed his phone number and took his wife's name, and they still found him.
Yeah.
They were convinced it was him that much that they just said, look, you can't get away from
these
us.
These teen sleuths, who are they?
Yeah, well, we need to add them to our police department.
We do.
So we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you share the name of a famous person, we want to know what that is like for you. And 1-800-520-1067. Of course, one of the most famous examples in the movies ever was in the movie Office Space, where there was a guy who was up for review, and the poor guy. What must it be like if your name is Michael Bolton?
You are Michael Bolton?
Yeah.
Is that your real name?
Yeah.
Are you any relation to the pop singer?
No, it's just a coincidence.
I'll be honest with you. I love his music. I do. I'm a Michael Bolton fan.
But you must really love his music, huh?
Yeah, he's pretty good, I guess.
You're goddamn right he is.
Right. So tell me, what's your favorite song of his?
I don't know. I mean, I guess I sort of like them all.
So, Ryan, I'm the exact same way, but it must be twice as hard for you being to have the same name as him. I celebrate the guy's entire catalog. Anyway, let's get down to business, Michael.
You know, you can just call me Mike.
That movie, by the way, is so brilliant.
Yeah,
and you know that when your name is Michael Bolton, everybody always asks, is that your real name?
Yeah.
Are you a fan of the guy? What's that like?
Here's my question, though. It doesn't follow at all that if your name is Michael Bolton, you're a Michael Bolton fan.
No,
I don't even understand that question. It tells you nothing about your musical taste. Just Justin Bieber guy. I'm sure people ask him, do you like Justin Bieber?
Of course.
Why would you even ask music? That?
Yeah.
He's making my life miserable. You remember on 30 Rock when the dude was named Wesley Snipes? And then we'll take your calls, 1-800-520-1067.
Share
the name of a celebrity.
I wanted to tell you to your face that I know that I can do better than you, and I'm never going to be Mrs. Snipes. Hang on, is your name Wesley Snipes? That is insane.
It's insane that the actor Wesley Snipes has that name. If you saw a picture of him and a picture of me, and you were asked, who should be named Wesley Snipes? You'd pick the pale Englishman every time, Liz.
That's the great actor Michael Sheen, and he's so right about that. He looks way more like a Wesley Snipes than the real Wesley Snipes does.
Yeah.
And by the way, even though, and Sharon, hang on, we're going to get to you first in 1 second here. Even though, you know, Wesley Snipes, that must have been a pain in the ass for that character if he were a real person. At least then he went away. At least then you didn't hear about Wesley Snipes for a long time. Then the next thing you know, he's back in court for tax evasion and goes to prison. He's all over the news again. And then it starts up all over again.
I was thinking as you guys started talking about this topic, can you imagine how many people have the very common name Scott Peterson?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's not what you want now.
All right, let's try Sharon real quick. She's on line three to get us started here on the Kevin and Bean Show. 1-800-520-1067. You share a famous name. How's that going for you? Sharon, thanks for calling. What's up?
Yeah, my name is Sharon Tate.
Sharon Tate.
Okay.
Hello.
All right.
Now, fortunately, enough years have passed that there are probably a lot of younger people to whom that name means nothing, but the older people certainly know. Tell folks who that is.
Well, the funny thing is I was born the same month and year that she was murdered.
Oh, wow. Hey. You're reincarnated of
yes.
her.
Yes. Is it possible that her soul went into your body?
Because they have the same name?
Yes. Wait, she died the same time. And then
hey, this is my soul to take. This is the exact movie that's in theaters today. Crazy.
Mike would like to know if you're hot.
Am I hot?
Yes.
Of course I'm hot.
There you go. That's
the answer. Because she was. She's a very famous actress for folks who still haven't put two and two together, who was murdered by Charles Manson's guys. Yeah. And that's why she became legend. And she was, I mean, she was a really, really pretty woman and young and a great actress. And she was married to Roman Polanski.
She was a pretty
woman? No, she wasn't in Pretty Woman.
That's crazy.
All right, Sharon Tate, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it.
Wow, can you imagine?
Not good.
1-800-520-1067. You have the same name as a celebrity. We'll take your calls in just a minute on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Right now, we're talking about famous people that you share a name with. How's that going for you? I imagine it's a pain in the ass, but maybe we'll find someone who's enjoying it.
Justin Bieber of Jacksonville, Florida is not happy.
Not liking it at all. Uh-uh. Let's try our man Steve to get us going. He is on line one. Steve, thank you so much for holding on. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You share your name with a celebrity. Which one?
Steve Irwin.
Steve Irwin.
That must have been really rough about 3 years ago.
Oh, yeah. They ask me if I'm dead all the time.
Good times. Is it the worst, like, when we were saying, like, you call to make a hotel reservation or something, and does everyone have a comment?
Dude, I get bills in the mail with my name spelled wrong. And people don't believe that I spell it a different way.
How do you spell it?
I spell it with an E.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, but that's irrelevant to this conversation. When you say your name is Steve Irwin, people always have a crocodile joke for you.
Every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry. You sound angry. Angry and bitter, and I don't blame you.
Thanks for the call.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
What do you do, by the way? You can't decide at 30 to start using your middle name, right? If everybody already knows you as Steve, you can't all of a sudden say, oh, now I want to be known as Alan or whatever it is, right?
I don't know, dude.
You just got to roll with it, I guess.
I don't know. After a certain amount of time, you have to start thinking, man, it might be worth it just to try to...
I guess it depends on what you do.
Change the next 30 years.
Yeah.
Let's try George, line three here on the Kevin Media. George, thanks for calling in. What's going on, dude?
What's going on, guys?
What's your name?
George Michael.
George Michael. Mm.
Dude, you got to stop drinking.
Yeah. And how's jail?
Now, that was Michael Cera's character on Arrested Development, too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And did you get some of that as well? You get a little bit of everything being named George Michael?
I get a little bit of everything. I get, you know, people saying, sing me songs. And sure. I can't go to, you know, hey, you can only just shoot by yourself in public restrooms and just a bunch of stuff.
Hey, dude, sing Father Figure.
Has it ever worked in your favor?
No, not at all.
Not a bit.
Oh, bummer.
Good times.
Hoping, you know.
Well, this is one of those situations, too, where I'm sure George's whole life has been this way.
Yeah.
I mean, at least
yeah.
Justin Bieber has only been for a couple of years.
That's true.
Hey, that's a good question, by the way, George. I don't know how old you are, but your parents gave you that name and there was already a famous George Michael in the world?
Yeah. I mean, only
what were they thinking?
So.
Yeah, what were they thinking?
I don't even know. I asked my father the same question.
Wow.
Usually it's like a family name, and they don't even put it together.
Yeah, I guess so.
I guess.
Thank you, George. We appreciate the call, dude. Let's try Michael on line five. Right. Hey, Michael. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What celebrity do you share your name with?
Michael Myers.
Oh, that's great.
Especially this time of year.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It works to your favor, right? Because people are scared of you.
And they'll give you anything you want.
Right.
And you can't even, Halloween. Of course, yeah, and you can't even do the obvious, which is please call me Mike, because now you're Austin Powers.
Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, you're so hosed no matter what you try to do. Oh, groovy baby, Michael. I feel so bad for our listeners now. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Let's try Tom, line six. I mean, we're joking, we're laughing, but I mean, imagine if that's your day all day, every day.
Yeah. Well, certainly everybody that comes across you for the first time has to make a comment.
Yes, and you can't let it go.
It has to be 99% of the time the same comment.
Right.
Right.
Hey, Tom Jones.
Hey, what's new, pussycat?
an incredibly common first name, an incredibly common last name. Yeah. What are the chances? That sucks, dude.
But he's been alive longer than you.
He's been alive longer than me, but I got the name about the time he became popular.
So did your parents named you after him?
They won't admit to that, but I say yes.
I'd like to suggest that perhaps they named you that because he's your real father.
Your mom's a goer.
No.
Come on now.
Please no.
Yep,
you're he got around.
Did they try to name you Junior and you just left that off?
Hey,
if they did, I...
You don't know about it?
He's unbelievably wealthy, man. You should totally go with that, seriously. Yeah. Thanks for the call. Let's talk to our friend Missy Elliott. She's on line eight.
No, come on.
Hey, Missy. Joining us here.
Hi.
Missy?
Really?
Now, Missy is a real name. I always assumed that was short for, like, Melissa or something.
No, it's not in this case.
Not a nickname, huh?
It's a real name. How about that? So what's that been like for you?
I'm, like,
22 and I'm white and it's not funny.
You hear a lot of pain in the voices of the people we're talking to today.
It's not funny.
It seems like that had to be deliberate.
Right. Again, you were born after her.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And Missy is not a common name.
She hasn't been popular that long.
Yeah, she's only started in the 90s, guys. So this Missy existed before the famous one. Yeah. But still, I'm sorry for you, Missy. Thank you very much for the call. All right, we got time for two more. Let's try Chris on line 4. Hey, Chris, tell us about being married to Gwyneth Paltrow, Chris Martin.
Oh, it's fantastic. Every day, never gets old.
Yeah.
But you named your kid Apple. That was stupid, right?
Yeah. You know.
Wow. What is the most common question people ask you? Is it, do you like Coldplay?
Do you like Coldplay? How's Gwyneth? And my answer to that now is just, she's dead, okay?
All right.
Oh, good.
This is a guy who's had it.
Yeah.
That's it.
I don't blame him. All right, one more. David is on line 2. Hey, David, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
My wife's name is Lisa May.
Oh, yeah! Lucky girl.
Wow.
Anytime we meet somebody or she's introduced to anybody that's 35 or younger, the immediate follow-up question is, oh, from K-Rock?
Yep.
Oh,
well,
wow.
And the thing with radio is people don't know what you look like.
Right.
So they don't automatically dismiss it when they meet you.
Well, it's funny because she'll come home from work at night. She'll say, while she's at work, people will ask her if she's the one from K-Rock.
She should always say yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Own that.
What's the downside?
You might get free stuff. Who knows?
Does she also participate in Butthole Week?
And does she love plays?
It's been something else.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, if she's hotter than our Lisa, we'll take your Lisa. She can be the one from the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, it's that song from that band on 106.7 K-Rock KROQ. Thanks to our friends at Don Francisco's Coffee for providing coffee to the show this morning. How much does Lisa May drink in a day, by the way?
A lot.
Yeah.
She's mainlining, right?
Yeah,
but alcohol.
Much.
We're talking alcohol here. Not coffee. But it goes best in Don Francisco's Coffee. That's what I've told you. If you'd like more information and a coupon, go to tastedonfranciscos.com. It is 6:38.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's time for the Afro Line. 323-520-AFRO. 24 hours a day. Any topic is fine, including getting the band back together.
Melfon! Yeah, Melfon is rocking every Friday throughout Rocktober. It is the happiest time of year, I have to be honest. I mean, my 1 second each hour on the slide whistle makes me feel like a rock star.
Sure, that's what you live for. That's why you do it, is for the moment on stage.
That's right.
You know
that's
what
right,
I mean?
Man.
It's not this time yet, though.
It's almost time to call the Butterball Turkey Hotline. Turkey time.
I got to tell you.
We have a little time before that.
Every Thanksgiving, we call the Butterball Turkey Hotline. We do a hilarious skit. And
by Kevin hilarious, you mean really, really horrible.
Kevin has hated on it since year one. But then he's in against her. He hates everything.
Oh,
but
please.
I got to be honest. I think I'm crawling down there with him now. I think I've lost the mojo on the Butterball Turkey
Thank
Hotline.
God.
He finally beat it out of you.
10 years
yeah.
too late.
I think I may be willing to let that one go. You'll never pry Halloween spooks out of my cold dead hands. But I think I'm willing to let the Butterball Turkey Hotline go.
What a major victory! Who knew we were going to get that today? There's a dude named Luke from QuakePredictions.com, and he's been telling us for a couple of weeks that the big one's coming. The big
We're
one's
going to die.
Southern California's going to get rocked by a 6 to 7 earthquake, and everybody gets scared, and then it doesn't happen, and we call him, and we say, hey, how about that prediction? He says, oh, no, I meant next week.
Yeah.
So he said this week, this past couple of days, Wednesday, Thursday, was the real time for the 6.0 to 7.0.
Hmm. Didn't feel anything.
We're going to talk to him later this morning and find out what happened. But
gosh damn it. Listen, is this blowhard? Is he right? I've been hiding under this desk all day yesterday. I'm still under here. And I just want to know when I come out. He said today or tomorrow. Oh, crap. I'm just going to stay under here.
I think that's wise.
That is a good idea, yeah. And just in general. I don't know what this means.
Hey, Kevin. I like your hair. In your pants.
With doo-doo on it.
But he didn't say that.
I know. It seemed like he was going there.
That's what I thought. What sense does that make?
I don't know.
And then there's this classic.
What did you do outside my window? What did you do beyond the trees?
Yeah. It's like a mess.
Awesome.
Up.
Awesome.
Yeah, awesome. Great. You can do text to landline where you actually text words and then you have a computer voice say it.
Kevin, I want to watch you give Lisa the Alabama Hot Pocket.
Yeah!
Yeah, listen, we do...
That is not legal in this state.
Right, we can't show anyone. The Alabama Hot Pocket is something that you keep yourself, so sorry about that.
King of Mexico is totally right, man. You don't need windshield wipers. The little range is like not even touching the car because I'm driving so rad.
Oh, this is a mess.
He's doing a one-man play.
Why is Dave so proud of being so stupid that he won't turn his windshield wipers on in the rain?
Dude,
I don't know. Wears that like a badge of honor. He loves it.
He does, but he doesn't agree that it's stupid.
It is stupid. Of course it's stupid.
Listen, I agree.
He's so stubborn. I think if he wanted to now, he wouldn't.
Correct, yes. Yes, even in real life.
He'll drive blind.
If he was driving on his own and none of us were around to see it, he wouldn't do it just to make sure that he...
And he's even gone a step further. It's even gone past, hey, look at me, I'm so wacky, I drive without my windshield wipers in the rain. Now he's berating other people that do the responsible, safe thing of using their windshield wipers so that they can see. Now he's calling them names.
Yeah, I tried it the other day. Turns out you can't see.
No.
It's really odd that way. Omar does our Glee cap because we think if he watches it one more time, he's going to come around.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a very, very catchy theme song, which is Glee Cap, Glee Cap. And then he changes it very creatively to Glee Crap. See?
Hola, this is Dave, the King of Mexico.
And this isn't what that's about.
And being a Mexican is a lifestyle choice, man. And I'll tell you what, I started this FLG fingerless gloves. So what I want you to do is, Kristen Bell, send that tweet out, send that tweet out, fall asleep in movie theaters, send that tweet out.
Yeah, what are our listeners smoking? It's something different.
I agree.
Than what they normally
smoke. It's something different every day.
Something going on. You're right, Lisa.
Here's the Glee Cap love.
Wait. At the end of Omar's little Glee Cap theme song, is he saying Glee Crap? Is that what Glee Crap? Because he doesn't like the show. Glee Crap, not cap.
I like that guy. I could hang out with him.
Me too.
From DirecTV's Red Zone, our friend Andrew Siciliano will be on with us coming up next here on The Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday. Thanks a lot for listening. You know, today's the 8th of Rocktober.
1, 2, 3, 4!
Left of the show. Come on.
Malfoy?
Our
rhythm section, man, sounds great today. It was going off in a little bit of a psychedelic direction there for a second.
Dave's on fire. Chip's on fire. Awesome.
Well done, you guys. Well done.
Good sesh.
All right, time for the showbiz beat. Ralph is on vacation. He'll be back on Monday. Everyone will be pleased to hear that news. In the meantime, we're taking a look at the showbiz beat with producer Alex this hour.
Good morning.
Hey.
How's everybody doing?
We are good.
Sweet. All right, I'm going to start off today actually giving a little shout out to the boobies, to breasts.
All right.
Okay.
October,
we're down with that.
May or may not know, is Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Which month are we talking about?
Nope.
The band has left the building. Sorry, I have no instruments. But if you've been watching like any of the NFL games, all the players are wearing pink and they've got...
By the way.
Hey!
Stop it.
Why?
Hey, dude, maybe those of us with boobs appreciate guys paying attention.
Boobies. Go ahead. Go ahead and run a commercial with the charity information. Go ahead and put that on the TV. I don't need to see referees and players out there in pink. I just don't.
Why does that offend you so much? Actually, it makes it easier to see their feet when they're in the pink
shoes. First of all,
The colors clash.
Wow, that is the gayest thing you've ever said.
Nope.
Well, anyway.
That's tough competition.
Our friends at Boarding for Breast Cancer, who are a recipient of our annual April Foolishness comedy concert, gave me a heads up that they are doing a Check 1, Check 2 campus tour in October to promote breast cancer awareness.
Do they need us to help with that?
Maybe to check the one and the two?
I'm saying.
A little bit. Yeah. They're working with Southern California University ski and snowboard teams. By the way, I want to be on a snowboard team. I think it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And Women's Health Department to educate young women on the importance of early detection and an active lifestyle in the fight against breast cancer.
This is why you don't let women do the showbiz beat, by the way.
Because I'm talking about saving boobs.
Why do you hate boobs?
Yeah, so check out b4bc.org. They're going to be at UCI, UCLA, UCSD. They're going to be all over. So check them out. Save your boobies. Go Tata.
Giant size cans.
Big juicy melons.
All right, are we done with the boob drops?
Nope.
One more?
Never will be.
All right.
She does have great cans.
There we go. Lady Gaga has a team of Ghostbusters.
What?
Lady Gaga believes in ghosts. So she reportedly spends thousands of pounds on Ghostbusters to check every hotel and venue she's due to visit before she even agrees to go. The eccentric singer is terrified of evil spirits and reportedly has every hotel room and venue checked, according to Britain's Grazia magazine.
No.
The pop star also has said previously that she believes in the reincarnated spirit of her dead aunt, who follows her.
Okay.
So aunt's coming on the tour bus and the private plane. And she has also allegedly spent over $40,000 on state-of-the-art electromagnetic field meters to detect specters.
Wow, that's odd.
Really? Gaga's odd?
Yeah. But don't you get the idea? Like, I sort of distrust kind of everything she says because I think she's trying to be
She's always molding an
there.
Image.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm scared of ghosts, so I have somebody check. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, I'm just walking around with a teacup. Don't mind me.
Yeah.
So we have an update on drummer Max Weinberg. For a few weeks now, Team Conan, Team Coco has known that Max is not going to join their TBS show that's premiering in November. But now we have the real reason why, and there's no bad blood between Conan and Max. Apparently, Max had massive, invasive open-heart surgery.
Wow.
Oh.
So he actually was not able to, obviously, come to the new show. He endured a valve repair, and then as he's gotten older, it's gotten worse. So he said, 2 years ago, it became life-threatening, and I had to do something about it sooner or later. So he booked his surgery 2 weeks after The Tonight Show ended. If he hadn't, he would have had to obviously miss The Tonight Show. So he said he's playing better than he ever has. He's not looking backward. He feels wonderful. And congratulations. So we're happy that, you know, he's not dead. That's good. when you think of Stan Lee, do you think of hockey, Kevin?
No, never.
Okay.
Hockey?
Well, yeah. The NHL is teaming with superhero master Stan Lee. Stan Lee is an unlikely partner, but he's creating a new team of superheroes for the National Hockey League.
Oh, no.
They're collaborating on something called the Guardian Project, where they're creating a superhero to represent each of the league's 30 teams.
Yeah.
And this is not going to be considered their new mascot. They're not basing the new superheroes off the mascots. It's completely separate. Each Guardian will have 5 powers. The powers will be tied to their team. So, for example, the Calgary Flames are going to have control over fire. And the Philadelphia Flyers are going to go airborne. Woo!
Could they not do all of this, or do they have to?
So he's coming up with 30 new superheroes?
Correct. Because we need superheroes to get people to watch hockey, apparently.
Wow. That sounds unnecessary.
Hockey does not do well, right?
F you.
Well, it doesn't help that it's on channels nobody has and nobody's heard of on their TV.
That's true at times.
Didn't the season kick off last night, Kevin? Hockey season?
Yeah, I think it's right now sometime.
Don't look at me.
I'm not sure what day.
Hockey fan. This is why hockey doesn't do well. Hockey fan like, doesn't know.
No, I know the first home game, but I'm not sure.
All right.
Opening. I think so, yes.
Kevin's already been drunk with the teams in Las Vegas. Yeah. I'm just pointing that out.
Sorry.
Happy birthday today to Sigourney Weaver, CJ Ramone of the Ramones, Matt Damon, Nick Cannon, and Angus T. Jones, the richest teenager in the planet right now. I'm very jealous. And Mike the Miz from MTV's Cutthroat Challenge.
Sure.
That's just for me.
She loves him so much.
Because he's a nutbag.
Yeah.
I'm Alex. That is your showbiz.
Legendary guitar player from The Sex Pistols, Steve Jones, joins us in studio in minutes here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, it's Friday. That means we're looking ahead toward a big, big, big busy sports weekend. Andrew Siciliano is on the phone. Of course, ESPN radio personality and the host of the Red Zone Direct TV channel. Hey, Andrew. How are you, man?
Good morning, everybody. I'm before Steve Jones. It's pretty big. I'm impressed.
You're opening for the Sex Pistols, dude. It's pretty cool. Listen, I'm gonna pretend that I'm not feuding with you. I'm gonna save for another day your tweet last night that Bruce Springsteen is merely good, not great. I'm gonna let you slide on that for right now. But you and I have I got a bone to pick with you, brother.
You know what? Listen, the documentary was on last night, and I watched like 5-10 minutes of it with my brother. Don't get me wrong. I love Springsteen's music. I've seen him.
I haven't seen him in a full concert, which is what I'm told all the angry tweeters last night that I must do.
I gotta
tell
you,
I've seen him at the Super Bowl for a halftime
show.
Yeah,
that's not safe.
And he was washed out and tired, and I needed another beer.
I gotta tell you, Andrew, I am not a fan, and saw him in concert, and it was amazing.
Okay, yeah, he's great.
I don't doubt that he's amazing in concert. All I'm saying is I've never understood the fall to your knees and cry infatuation that some people have with a guy. I mean,
I hear you.
I like his music, but I've never really been moved by his music. I'm 36. I grew up back east, so I would think I have some modest or moderate...
You're a communist. That's what this is about. You are a communist. You are so, at a minimum, you're un-American. All right, we're going to save that for another day because I'm seething at you right now, Andrew. Let's turn on to bigger and better things, including football this weekend. Now, there's a tremendous amount of interest looking ahead just toward the Monday night game because Randy Moss reunited with Brett Favre. Everybody's excited about that. But let's talk about some distractions in Brett Favre's locker room right now. What's the latest on this story?
Has anyone ever taken pictures of their junk and emailed it?
Well, never. It's hard to remember certain nights, and I certainly would. But did Brett Favre actually do that? Because didn't this story break like a month and a half ago or something?
It did, but it's back. And I guess my question is, A, who does that? And B, who wants to look at that? And if you're in your mid-30s, should you still be doing that allegedly?
No. Let me ask Lisa May. Lisa, is that a turn-on for a woman, for a guy to send you a picture of his junk?
No.
It's not the same as in reverse, right?
You
told me you liked it.
It's creepy.
That's why when you go to the newsstand, it's like 9-1 men's mags versus women's mags.
All right, but how did it come back into the news?
Right. There's a website. Deadspin, I don't mind saying it.
Right.
And they're the ones who have this story a couple of months ago. They came back with this story 2 days ago, except this time with the alleged photos and the alleged voicemails as well. So they came back with that, and then a reporter from the New York Post decided to, during Favre's weekly "We're Here to Talk About the Game and Cheer Randy Moss" press conference yesterday, decided to ask him about those photos and the voicemails, and he said basically, and he was hemming and hawing.
Did that go well?
He didn't get angry, but it was really uncomfortable. He said, "Well, I got enough things with the Jets to worry about. I'm not going to worry about that." And then he just let it go. But oddly enough, it was actually stricken from the transcript. So the Vikings later today released a transcript of the press conference, as they always do. That question was taken
out. How about that?
I don't know why it's news, to be honest with you. I'm not,
because he's married, I think. That's why.
No, because
he's married, right?
Seriously, if we were to do a story of every star athlete that may or may not have sent a text or a voicemail or tried to get some hot chick that he met into bed,
we wouldn't
show games.
That's true.
It would be the only
right.
thing on TV. Really? So celebrity has thought about cheating on wife. That's news?
Right, but But if it turns out to be the case, he will be one of the highest profile stars that took a picture of his penis and sent it to people. I mean, really, that's what it's about.
Or the highest profile to do it and have it get out.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick, and then we'll move on to some games. Wasn't there a Major League Baseball player a couple of months ago and an exact same story surfaced where a woman came forward and said, here's a picture of his penis, but you could not see the rest of his body. You could only see that part of his body, so it was easy for him to say, no, that's not me, right?
Yeah, it happens all the time. What I don't get is it's one thing for like a 22-year-old rookie to do it. It's another thing for a guy, again, allegedly, if it's him, because you don't see his face in these photos.
Right.
For a guy in his mid to late, no, actually like late 30s. I mean, he's 40. For a guy in his late 30s to do it, I don't get it. Like 21-year-old kids, 22-year-old kids, they need to learn. They grew up in that whole Facebook era.
Sure.
You know, era. They don't get that stuff will eventually come back to haunt you, whether it's in a week, a month, a year, or 20
especially
years.
Especially if you're a big star.
Yeah, exactly. Haunt you.
Yeah. This is the voice of our friend Andrew Siciliano on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show, of course, the host of the Red Zone DirecTV channel, which, by the way, I got to get me one of those miniature giraffes. I don't know if you can pull some strings and make that happen for me, but those commercials with the little giraffe. Okay. Let's talk about some games this weekend. What are you excited about, Andrew? What are the marquee matchups for us this time?
All right. This is by far the most difficult week to pick games. There isn't a single game on the board that jumps up where you say, all right, I know he's going to win that game, which means it's probably better football to watch. They're the Raiders and the Chargers, as always, which means someone's going to get stabbed.
That's a huge rivalry, no matter where they play, either way.
Raiders and Chargers, it's actually up there. The Chargers have beaten the Raiders 13 consecutive times. So put that in your pipe and smoke it, whatever kind of pipe you may smoke. There's Green Bay and Washington, yay.
Sure.
There's Kansas City and Indy. You know, Kansas City is the only undefeated team remaining in the NFL.
Yeah, that's a fluke, right?
It's an absolute unabated fluke.
Kansas City.
And they will lose this week.
By the
way, Denver-Baltimore, which, I mean, there's a bunch of we don't see these games that often kind of matchups that are juicy, but you're not sure how you feel about them until they actually get on the screen. Does that make sense?
I'll give you the lock. The lock for the week is New Orleans against my Arizona Cardinals.
No.
you know what?
Cardinals
are
pathetic.
That might be the lock of the week. The only reason I don't like to take that as the lock of the week is because they're on the road.
Yeah, but...
And even though they're the defending Super Bowl champions and they're playing against an undrafted rookie quarterback from BYU.
Sure, there's that.
There's that going as well, and the fact that Arizona really isn't good. But Arizona's desperate. They're absolutely
desperate.
Doesn't
make them good.
Home. No, it doesn't make them good. Thanks for reminding me.
It's a shame.
I might have to take that game. Thank you. Yeah, I missed that one. It's a 6.5-point line if you look at those things, which I don't, and it's for gambling. I mean,
of course you don't, because you can't do that. Right, yeah.
No, actually, I don't. True story, I've never placed a legitimate or illegitimate bet in my life.
Well, you're not human.
Really? As a sports fan, though, before you got into the business, wouldn't you have bet with your friends just because that's what you do?
I've been lucky enough to be in the business for a long time. I have never. It doesn't really interest me. Yeah, it doesn't. Like, you know what? I've bet on the Derby. Like, I've been in Vegas during Derby week, and I've actually been to the Derby. So I've bet on the Derby both places, and I know nothing
about
it.
I'm sorry, I don't know what the Derby is.
Kentucky Derby.
Oh, Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, those big animals running around in circles.
Man, whatever.
You know, those great athletes.
That's not sports betting.
Those horses.
On top with the whip.
Come on now.
Yeah, I bet on that. That's about it.
Okay. Hey, real quick, Seth, before you go, and I know football is your thing, but I know on ESPN you are a well-rounded sports professional. How about those Philadelphia Phillies? Can I just say, as we're into postseason baseball, how unbelievable do they look, not the least of which is because they got Roy Halladay?
Yeah, Roy Halladay threw no hitter. It's pretty good, huh? I like how we rip Philly fans because most of the time we think they're animals.
Which they are.
They are animals. Yeah. They show up and they pack the house for those Phillies games compared to the sad state of, say, Tampa Bay baseball.
Sure, yeah.
Where they started the game at 1:30, which is right in the middle of dinner for the majority of their elderly patrons. So, and at 4:30, when they're down 5-1, most of those fans are gone. Because
that place was empty.
Already.
For a playoff baseball game, that stadium was empty. It was very sad.
The Phillies are insane. I'm surprised you guys didn't bring up the start of the hockey season in Helsinki, Finland.
Hey, what about the start of the hockey season in Helsinki, Finland?
Well, because we know you like that a little less than you like Bruce Springsteen. That's why we didn't bring it up. We
know
better than to bring up hockey to you.
You offend me with your hate of hockey.
I don't hate hockey. I'll say this. I work in sports. My brother is a Washington Capitals season ticket holder. His wife is Finnish. Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
None of us knew the season opened in Helsinki, Finland yesterday until after the game had been played.
Yeah.
Oh, that's bad marketing. Yeah.
We knew the Lakers were playing two meaningless preseason games in Europe. Nobody had any clue the NHL season was opening. And why open in Helsinki, Finland with the Carolina Hurricanes and the Minnesota Wild?
That's a good question, because Helsinki, Finland doesn't really need to be sold on hockey.
Is there a Finnish population in Minnesota I don't know about?
I don't know. I don't have an answer to that.
That's an excellent point. Yeah. Well, it's an uphill fight for hockey every year, but it is a great sport, Andrew. Listen, we're out of time. Andrew Siciliano can be heard weekdays from 11 till 3 if you're lucky enough to be in Southern California in the range of ESPN 710 AM. And, of course, the whole world can see him on the Red Zone DirecTV channel on Sundays. Purchase at www.directtv.com or call 888-777-2454. Just have a great weekend, man. Thanks so much for joining us.
Go King.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. We welcome Steve Jonesy Jones to the studio.
How about that?
Yeah.
Doing his show on K-Rock, finally, from 7 to 9 this Sunday night. It is called Jonesy's Jukebox.
You may be familiar with it from the years that it aired on Indy 103.1. It is, of course, that station, unfortunately, they pulled the plug a couple years back, and it's just been a matter of time, and we've always hoped this would happen. But Jonesy's Jukebox debuts this Sunday night from 7 till 9 right here on the world-famous K-Rock. Mustard or pants is the question you're asking. You have to tune in and find out. And Mr. Jones is our guest here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:24. Hey, Steve Jones of the Sex Pistols. How are you, man?
I'm good. Thank you.
It's great to finally meet you. We've been a fan of yours for a long time. It's, I was telling you, know, we have a lot of guests on this program, but we were talking before you came in that rarely do you get a chance to meet a guy who's really a part of rock and roll history in the way that you are. So it's a real thrill for us.
Oh, thank you.
So, wow, where do you start with a guy like you? You were in the Sex Pistols.
Okay, that's a good starting question.
Yeah.
Is that a question?
That's correct.
That's
that
a really
correct.
Good question.
All right, so yes.
I think it's a fact.
Check that off.
Can you even remember being in the Sex Pistols back in the day, or is that the type of thing that is such a blur that it seems like it happened a million years ago?
It's both, actually. Although, you know, the great thing about it is that we only did one album, really.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a lot of... got a lot of leverage from that one album.
I'd say you got more out of that one album than any band in history.
Yeah. That's got to be a record in itself.
Really? That's unbelievable.
You did burn pretty bright, pretty fast, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And when the reunion tour started up a few years ago, and they were enormously successful to the point where you continued to do more of them, I think a lot of people thought you guys seemed to be getting along so well. Maybe the band is officially back together and they might even make a new record. Is that something that had to have been talked about at least, right?
Yeah, we talked about it. I don't know. I think it would be more damaging than good to try and do a new album. I don't think we could ever do anything like that one album.
That's a victim of your own success, basically. It was an amazingly impactful moment, and there's no way you could do anything but go down from there.
Yeah, because we know too much now. When we did that album, we didn't know anything.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And
you
that helped?
You're totally naive and vulnerable, and now, you know, we're too jaded, and it would be like making an album for the sake of it, and I just don't think it would work, you know.
But I totally respect that, and I get where you're coming from, but you're obviously a very creative person, and you obviously still love to play music. I would think that you would have a lot of thoughts in you, and maybe some things you still want to rage against that you would want to express that way, no?
I don't know. I don't really rage anymore. At 55, you know? I mean, I can make out I'm raging, but I'm not really, you know? You got to leave that to the next generation. Yeah. The next 20-year-old, 18-year-olds. It's their job to do that, you know?
Is there such thing in the 21st century as punk rock today?
Well, it all depends what you call punk rock. Is it fashion or is it an attitude, or it's whatever you, I mean, you know, you get...
In your opinion, is Bad Religion, are any of those bands?
Punk rock?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, that's a tough question.
A tough question, yeah.
Because,
times have changed, certainly, and, you know, there was such an atomic bomb that went off in New York and in London back in the, you know, mid to late 70s when you and a thousand other bands came out and were punk rock and had a lot to be pissed off about. And I think there are still a lot of people pissed off out there. I just don't know that we're seeing it expressed in music the way we did back then. Doesn't seem like people use music for that anymore.
I don't think it's in bands like what you just said, Bad Religion and Green Day and all that. If it was real punk rock, no one would be liking it. You know what I mean? Because no one liked us when we first started because it was different. But basically all the bands we were just talking about is just kind of emulating what was done a long time ago. To be real punk rock, you got to be something that's awful, really. You know what I mean? But something that's good as well, but not to older folk. It should be for younger people.
Right, sure.
Yeah.
You know.
It's funny because every once in a while I'll see somebody who's dressed up in the classic punk rock outfit. They'll be, you know, they'll have the rancid jacket on and they may have a mohawk and they've got the piercings everywhere. And I think they're trying to be so rebellious, yet they're doing something that their parents probably did at this point. I mean, it's been that style, that look has been along for so long that it can hardly be revolutionary anymore to pretend to be a punker anymore.
Yeah, you know, a mohawk or dyeing your hair red or green is no big deal now. But back in the day, if you did that, you would get a good beating. Now, literally, it was, you know, you had to, you would get beaten up.
So you knew that you were a successful punk band by the fact that people hated you, right?
I mean, not at the time. I didn't. I just thought we were doing what we were doing, you know. But looking back at it,
oh, I see what you're saying. Okay,
you know what I mean.
This is the voice of Jonesy, Steve Jones, on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. You know, it's interesting. I was thinking about you last night and thinking about that time where your record came out and that couple of years that you were together. And, you know, thousands of other bands went into the garage and started making music. And it seemed like it was simple. People just did it. And it was simple.
Yeah.
And we're almost at that point now in 2010 where, thanks to the technological advances of computers and whatnot, almost anyone can make music if they've got an idea. We're kind of back to that indie vibe a little bit, and that there are thousands of bedroom bands now.
Yeah, absolutely. You can do it. Anything with like just one finger, you can make a record. You know,
but it's harder now. It seems to find the good ones from the bad.
Well, that's it. You know, it's like it's an internet radio. There's 10 million radio stations.
Right.
But
how do you stand
no
out?
No one's listening to them because you know.
There's 10 million
of them, you know, so, you know, there is definitely, you've got to have some talent as well. There's no two ways about it, whether you know, our album, as obnoxious as it was at the time, there was still a lot of talent in there as well, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you don't just go, oh, I'm going to make a record, blah, 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 and that's it.
Right.
You know, you've got to have, it's a lot of things, you know, timing. You know, when we came out, it was all guys with long hair and people were kind of tired of it. So yeah. It was the perfect timing. You know, you have your... It seems like rock and roll always goes in cycles of 10 years to mm-hmm. me, you know.
It's also fascinating to me that unlike a lot of other popular albums of the era, you can pull out Nevermind the Bollocks and put it on today and the production still sounds great and it still sounds in many ways contemporary. It doesn't sound out of place compared to things that were recorded decades later. That's amazing to me that as new as you were to your instruments, you were able to make a record that has really stood the test of time,
yeah,
sonically.
Yeah, we picked a good producer. That was part of the key. You know, getting a good producer, Chris Thomas. Mm-hmm. He did a lot of great records. He actually was involved in the what's the big Pink Floyd record? The Moon. What's that one?
The Wall. The Wall. Dark Side of the Moon.
The Moon.
Dark
one.
Side of the Moon.
The Moon one. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he did a lot. The reason we picked him because I was a huge fan of Roxy Music, and he produced early Roxy Music albums. Mm-hmm. That was the only reason. But he was good because a lot of bands back in that day when you say do it yourself, they didn't, you know, we were lucky we got a good record deal and all at the time, but, you know.
Perfect timing, yeah.
Were you, I know we have to take a break and we'll come back more with Jonesy in a minute, but were you, if you don't mind me asking this question, were you really bummed out and really disappointed when the Sex Pistols broke up almost so soon after they had begun? Because it seemed like, and maybe it just was too hard, too fast, too young to be able to sustain at that pace that you were going. But it seemed like, hey, you're on to something that's really, really big, and now it's over. Was that a tough time for you?
No, I actually was the one who instigated it. I did when we finished in San Francisco, our last show at the Winterland. It just wasn't fun anymore, and you know, we weren't doing it to make a load of dough. Now I regret it.
You know, you can use the dough now?
Because it's like, you know, you didn't realize we were on the cusp of making it really big in America.
Uh-huh. Right.
Uh-huh. And then I'm like, oh, this is not fun anymore.
So the other guys were depressed. Because you said, this isn't fun, let's end it.
Yeah, it was that. You know, it was just, you know, because we weren't coming from the place of looking for success.
That has got to sound so weird to so many people because they think you're in a band and you want your music to be heard and now you have this opportunity to take over America the way you've taken over Britain and you walked away from it, essentially at the height of your fame. And I think people would have trouble understanding why it wasn't fun. I know that, you know, drugs in the band were part of it that made it a little bit of a drag. It was a little unreliable, some of your gigs perhaps.
Yeah, very.
A little unreliable.
All right. Well, we've got many more questions for our guest. Steve Jonesy Jones is here. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. More right after this. You are listening to the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. Happy to welcome a new DJ to the K-Rock staff, yeah. A guy with a little bit of experience. His name is Jonesy, Steve Jones, formerly of the Sex Pistols, now of Jonesy's Jukebox, debuting this Sunday night from 7 until 9 o'clock right here on the world famous K-Rock. By the way, one of the things that Jonesy loves to do is play the local music. So if you are in a band and you'd like to submit music, you can go to krock.com. We do have the address up there to mail your stuff to if you'd like to hear it on the radio. Sunday nights from 7 till 9. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 7:41.
Steve Jones in the studio with us again. Jonesy's Jukebox is the name of your radio show. Tell us how you pick music. What do you listen for in music?
You must get a lot of crap. Is the reason I asked. Like, people mail you CDs and stuff. It's got to be.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can just tell by.
90%?
Oh, at least.
Yeah, okay.
At least. No, for real. I'm not.
That's why I asked the question, because there's a ton of bands out there that are at best average and at worst, you know, terrible.
I mean, you can tell even before you play it, just looking at what their picture looks like, if it's going to be good or not.
Have you ever been surprised? Have you ever looked at a picture and went, nope, and then put it on and it was shockingly good?
No.
Not really. Okay. No. You got a good gut for that.
Yeah. And you can tell in 10 seconds if it's going to be good or not. Well, I can anyway. I don't know.
Yeah. Wow. That's a talent, Steve.
Yeah.
Yes,
I don't know.
For folks who live outside of the Southern California area who never had the pleasure of hearing Jonesy's Jukebox on the air, unlike any radio show anyone's ever heard, in fact, I'd be willing to bet you heard every single day you suck and you've got no business being on the air. Am I right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
But that does nothing but urge you on. or does it?
Well, it kind of it bugged me when I hear that a bit. I don't want to hear that about myself.
You don't want to hear that you.
Mm-hmm. I forget what words you can say and what you can't. Well, I've been out of the loop a little bit.
Yeah,
yeah.
Most you can't.
Yeah. Just go
with that. But you weren't interested in doing a traditional radio show with like most of the shows that are on the air. I mean, neither would we be. By the way, we don't want to be one of these guys who shows up at night and reads a card and plays 13 records an hour. I mean, that's no fun, and it's no fun to listen to, frankly.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, you know, it's all about having a personality on there, I think, is what people are drawn to. You can automate all day long, you know, and it's
smooth. It does no mistakes.
And
but
it's cheap.
It's cheap.
You don't have to pay anybody.
Right.
Is there a particular place that seems to be generating great music now? Or is it just all over?
I think there's a lot of bands in America that are really good that are not getting any, you know, no one knows about, you know. Uh-huh.
Well, that's best case scenario for a show like this, because you can play them and open people's eyes. What's one of the biggest couple? You have any names that come to mind?
It's a secret.
I'm sure they're glad to hear that.
You'll have to wait till Sunday.
Josie, one of the things that I remember from your show was the, and I don't know if this was your Rolodex or people who just wanted to meet you so they offered to be on your show, but you had the widest variety of guests of any show I've ever heard. Who are some memorable people that you had a chance to interview on your show that you really enjoyed?
Surprisingly, a lot of people that was very interesting had nothing to do with music. Like Vidal Sassoon, remember him?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Nice head of hair on that boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was fantastic. He was such a great storyteller and about how he come from nothing to where he was, you know. He was great. One of the favorites for me was Cliff Richard from the 50s.
What a legend.
English teen idol.
Mm-hmm.
He was actually, I ran into him in a restaurant and I went up to him and said, I'm a big fan of yours. You want to come on my radio? I thought I was joking, because in England he kind of gets made fun of.
Oh, is that right? He's kind of a punchline now.
Well, he's kind of square. He's like our Pat Boone in that
exactly.
From the 50s. He's that like squeaky clean kind of rock and roller that the Sex Pistols were against, is what he would probably think.
He hates punk, by the way.
He's got to. He has to. Yeah,
but he's never done any drugs or anything. But I love his voice, and he does these movies with the Shadows. You know, the Shadows was his backing band. They were like the English version of the Ventures.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And to have him on and playing, I was playing guitar with him. He's playing guitar, and we did all his old classics. Was brilliant. And the funny thing to me is he's got to be 70-odd, and he was in L.A. to go to New York the next day for a showcase. He's never really made
showcase.
It. Yeah, at 70.
Showcase is where you introduce your talents to people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. He never really, you know, he never made it in America, and he was still trying to give it a go here at 70.
Something.
Yeah.
How often do you still play guitar, Steve?
Not a lot, actually. I just kind of got an acoustic at home. I pick up now and again when I just.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not one of them guys who walks around with a guitar playing all day.
Yeah, you went on to have a number of bands, including some like the Neurotic Outsiders that we played here on this show that were pretty popular. That in the years after the Sex Pistols, you continued to work in bands, but you haven't been in a band for a long time now, right?
Yeah, I'd rather be on the radio, to be honest with you. It's a lot easier.
it's not a lot of travel.
It is. It's true.
It is a lot
of
work.
Not a lot of personalities to deal with. Yeah.
Especially these days, there's no dough in the music business.
Yeah, it's upside down right now, isn't it?
Yeah. You're all right if you're a big band, Sex Pistols, you know, Boston, whoever.
You can,
it's worth it, but there's so many bands who just are never going to see a dime.
Yeah.
You know.
Did you guys make a lot of money from the Sex Pistols?
Someone did.
Just not you?
We never made any money in the day. That is for sure.
Is that a fact? Because, I mean, you sold, I mean, it took a long time for you to sell a million albums, I know, but, with singles in Britain, I mean, you were selling hundreds of thousands of singles in those couple of years.
Yeah. I think, we got, like, a lot of bands back in the day when you didn't have a clue. You just basically would sign anything.
Mm-hmm. You started to get taken advantage of by whoever.
Yeah.
Record companies.
Yeah. It happens all the time, but that's just part of the learning process. But I'm in a way I'm kind of grateful I didn't make a load of dough in a day, because I'd probably be dead,
When you decided to do the reunion tour, you so cleverly named it the Filthy Lucre Tour, which is your way of saying, look, we're in it for the money. Yes, that's why we're doing it. You can't accuse us of that, because we're admitting it before you buy your ticket that that's why we're here. Were you surprised at how much of a how many fans were out there who were dying to see you live, or was that what you expected?
No, I was expecting, because we hadn't actually done anything in 20 years, that it would be pretty popular.
Because all these people who were fans of yours had never had a chance to see us.
Well, never seen us, to be honest with you. We did about 50 shows originally. You know, we didn't do a lot
of
shows.
It's crazy that you did one album and 50 shows.
Yeah.
That is not a very good effort.
And yet, one of the greatest rock bands of all time on every list. Right.
That's impressive.
But I love it when, you get these guys come up to you and say, hey, man, I loved it when you played CBGBs. We never played CBGBs. But if all the people come up to me and says we played CBGBs, it would have been the size of the Stable Center.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why do people have to do that? They feel they have to come up and say that to you. I don't know why.
I don't know.
Maybe they want to pretend they were there.
Maybe they want you to like them.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I don't like you. Don't come up.
All right. We're almost out of time with Jonesy.
Find a list of the venues that they played.
At least say they were at that redneck bar in Alabama. At least say you were there, right? I have to ask this because it seems like it would be the ultimate honor for a musician to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Ooh. It meant nothing to you.
No. No, even though, we made a stink about going there. We didn't want to go there, and John came up with that letter that I can't repeat over the air.
Right.
And, I think that was the right thing to do. If you ever watch the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it's kind of cheesy. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of kiss assy, and
it's a little bit, but you have to admire some of the people, the Springsteens and the Neil Youngs and the Eddie Vedders and the people like that, who are legitimate, serious, great musicians who would want to be there, and you'd they're contemporaries of yours essentially, and that you're all in that rock and roll family. No, you don't feel any of that.
No, and also we're not the only ones who didn't go. David Bowie got inducted, he didn't go. Neil Young didn't do it. Either. Mm-hmm. But you still get inducted.
Whether you go or not.
So you save your credibility and you're still getting...
You're still in there.
Would you ever go to Cleveland and see the Sex Pistols exhibit?
Well, we never received our, whatever they are, the statues or anything.
What happened to those?
I don't know where they are.
You don't get them if you don't go.
Well, you think they mail them to you?
No, they are. If we want to get them.
Oh, I see.
I think they're in Cleveland, but no one wants to take the first step. I would like to sell mine on eBay.
It'd be worth the trip just to get it and sell. You can get all of them and sell them.
There you go. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Sure. Yes.
If you're listening, please send whatever he's got coming to him, because he wants to sell it on eBay. I'm sure they're going to go for that. All right. Steve Jonesy Jones has been our guest here on The Kevin and Bean Show, on The Kevin and Bean Show. And don't forget, by the way, if you're listening to us on K-Rock, Jonesy's Jukebox, this Sunday night from 7 until 9 o'clock, it is the debut of a show, and we hope that there is a long and happy and fruitful relationship with you, Mr. Jones. I hope you'll come back and see us here on the show, too. We really enjoyed it.
Yeah, thanks for having us. It was great.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, Lisa. It is the world-famous K-Rock at 7:56.
Plenty of Kevin and Bean show still ahead, including our friend Adam Carolla, This Week in Rage, coming up after the top of the hour. And Mr. Movie Phone will be here with the movie reviews for the weekend, too. Ralph Kramer will return on Friday. In the meantime, we're filling in for the Showbiz Beat. Excuse me, Monday. Mm-hmm. Filling in on the Showbiz Beat. And we start. Do we have some showbiz music for us? Do we start with?
No. We don't. We don't start with showbiz music.
No, it's Friday.
Oh, I forgot. It's Rocktober.
Come on, dude.
Good sesh. Good sesh. I'm a little embarrassed to do that with a Sex Pistol in the building, by the way.
Hopefully he's gone.
All right. Moving on now to showbiz news. You don't know the name Caitlin Sanchez, but if you've got kids, you've certainly seen Dora the Explorer, very popular show on, was it on Nickelodeon? It's on Nickelodeon, I think.
Right? But I know who she is.
She's suing now. She says that she only made about $5,000 an episode for doing the voice of Dora the Explorer. She says she was promised a cut of the merchandising as well, but she never got any of the money. Ooh. And then, to add insult to injury, she was fired when she turned 14, and I didn't realize this was a problem for girls the way it is for guys, but she hit puberty and her voice changed. So she wasn't Dora anymore because her voice was too low.
Hi, I'm Dora.
Caitlin Sanchez, again, is her name. And you know, this Dora the Explorer, I mean, this is a mega hit. I mean, the merchandising on that, I bet they sold millions and millions of dollars of stuff. I don't know how ordinary it would be for the voice actor to get a piece of that. But I mean, every time she sees a Dora the Explorer backpack go by, she's got to be like, hey,
what about that?
Where's mine?
The Munsters are coming back. NBC is remaking the Munsters.
Does it say why?
No. but it does say who's doing the project, and that is Brian Fuller, who's the mastermind behind Veronica Mars.
Oh, I like Veronica
Kristen
Mars.
Bell.
And Kristen Bell, as Dave calls her, is going to be starring in the Munsters.
Oh, really?
She has been cast as Marilyn.
That's kind of cool.
Now, I don't remember the Munsters. Who's Marilyn?
She's
Marilyn
the
is the pretty teenager who is not weird at all. She's the only one who doesn't look and act weird. She's normal.
All right.
And
but
everybody
thinks she's weird.
I'm down with
right.
that.
Because she's not
she's
like
weird.
Everyone else.
Because the whole rest of her family is so hogged up, and they always like feel sorry for her because she's so ugly.
I hear the Munsters. I go, no. I hear Kristen Bell. I say,
I know.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
This is interesting. Every time a television show becomes immensely popular, like Mad Men has on AMC, which, by the way, only has 2 episodes left this season.
Aww.
Kind of breaks my heart.
So good.
It starts to affect a lot of other things. Because the show is popular, you're already starting to see its influence in fashion, for instance. They're bringing back some of those fashions. Well, there's a new article out today that says that the drinks of Mad Men are becoming popular across the country, too.
What does that mean?
Drinks like the Sidecar, the Vodka Gimlet, popular drinks from back in the 1960s that are mentioned and drunk on Mad Men now are being ordered in restaurants and bars.
I could see that. I started drinking Cosmopolitans because of Sex in the
City. Sex in the City.
I love
that's exactly
them.
Right. Apparently, they are over. Apparently, they are out. Now, Lisa, when you go out this weekend, you got to get yourself a Tom Collins. Get yourself a Blue Hawaiian. These are some of the drinks that bartenders are reporting that were popular back in the 60s. Not so much now, but thanks to Mad Men, they're coming back.
All right.
We did this story earlier this morning, but in case you weren't listening, Justin Bieber is not happy. 35-year-old Justin Bieber, that is, in Jacksonville, Florida. He's a dude that has the same name, and apparently he gets mail by the boatload, and he can't stop it, and his phone rings all night, and he changed his phone number and changed his name to his wife's name, and people found him and put it back up online, and he still gets calls at all days of the hour. Plus, he had a Facebook account, and they shut it down because they thought that he was a fake.
That sucks.
So imagine you're 35-year-old Justin Bieber.
Oh, no. Man.
No.
Not good.
And we were asking earlier, do you just ask your friends and family, even though you've been Justin your whole life, to start calling you Jimmy?
I mean,
do you just say it's not worth it anymore?
I would.
Yeah. I almost think you might have to, yeah. Angus T. Jones is the actor's name. You may not recognize it, but he is the young star of 2.5 Men, the show with Charlie Sheen. He signed a deal earlier this year that was reported on TMC this morning. Now, bear in mind, he's 17 today, so he was 16 at the time he signed this deal. And then think back to what you were doing when you were 16. $500,000 signing bonus and $300,000 per episode, meaning he'll make $7.8 million over the next two seasons.
Wow.
He's 17.
Yeah. I'm with Steve Jones. If I got that kind of money early in life, I'd be dead.
You're dead, yeah. And, I mean, imagine never having to think about work. You're 17 now. Most of us are like, what am I going to do for a living?
Right.
A, I hope I find something that I like. B, I hope I find something that I like that I can make enough money to support myself and maybe one day have a family. This kid never has to worry about any of that. It has to only be about drugs and women for him, right?
I would imagine.
That would be my choice, yeah.
I mean, those are his only concerns. Money's taken care of, and with money, usually it's pretty easy to get the other two.
Well,
so,
you have time.
He's going to be a giant ass and go to college.
Oh, I hate it. I would hate him if he did that.
And he's going to get straight A's and be a doctor. And you're going to go, come on, stop it.
Today's celebrity birthdays. How about actor, in quotation marks, by the way, Nick Cannon and the host of That America's Got Talent. He is 30 years old today. What? Well, no, what?
He's not an actor or a host.
He's been in a bunch of movies.
Yeah.
Listen, enough with the Nick Cannon. Next.
Christiana Loken, by the way, 31 years old today. Ah. She was the female Terminator, if you recall.
Oh, sure.
Tremendous actor and Oscar-winning screenwriter Matt Damon turns 40 today. Actress Emily Procter is 42, I want to say, today. Comedian Daryl Hammond from Saturday Night Live turns 55. Actress Sigourney Weaver, who just starred with Kristen Bell in That You Again movie, turns 61 today. From Community, Chevy Chase is 67. And the Reverend Jesse Jackson. I have no idea what that man is talking about, but happy birthday, Reverend. He is 69, and that is the Showbiz Beat. Mr. Movie Phone in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about this weekend's new releases, and we'll catch up with Kevin's close personal friend from QuakePrediction.com. I have a feeling you got a few things to say to our man here coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I
First,
do.
Though, it's Friday. That means it's time for Adam Carolla, This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
All right, starting at 3, working our way down to number 1. Number 3 first. Doing a lot of traveling these days, going through a lot of airports, a lot of taking off the shoes and the bare tootsies on the floor and making my way through. Look down every once in a while when you're going through Burbank or LAX or Newark or any airport in this country. Some of the worst carpet you've ever seen in your life, the most filthy, disgusting, the worst stretch of carpeting you've seen is when you're taking your shoes off. Like,
yeah.
It's like if you went to a Tony Roma's in Bakersfield and you looked down and went, man, this carpet is disgusting. Jesus, some guy's been spilling rib juice and barbecue sauce. And then you went, let me kick my shoes off and walk through the bathroom. What the hell? What's up? It should be the best stretch there is. The airport, the carpet in front of the Cinnabon is better than the one in front of the security.
Well, there's so many people, they would have to replace it every day.
They also, when are you going to replace it?
Yeah.
They never close the place
That's
down.
True.
But some of that stuff is old-ass carpet. You know, it's the same crap Bob Hope walked through when he's doing a USO show in the 40s. I'm just saying, it's bad enough, and it's indignant enough. We have, you know, indignity enough that we have to pop our shoes off and walk around in our socks. I feel sorry for the ladies who are barefoot. And by the way, same people would be Purelling and opening the bathroom door with their sleeve, walking barefoot through a minefield of gum and baby vomit. Awesome. Awesome plan. Come on. Give us our dignity. Put a nice stretch of something there. Or how about this? How about you just put some kind of like wood grain or something, like some deck or something, you know, something where you spill the beer, it would fall through the other side. Just give us something.
Mop it up every once in a while.
Give us something other than the puke-riddled, horrible stretch of black carpet. It's a goddamn it's a baton death march going through there. It's horrible. All right, moving on. Still angry. NPR and PBS. I have to get up these people's tukai for a second.
Good.
If you notice, they start messing with the pronunciation of words. Like, it's Carnegie Hall. It's always been Carnegie Hall. It's been the Carnegie family, Carnegie Mellon University, Carnegie Hall. Hey, I'm going from Carnegie Mellon University down the street to Carnegie Hall. But if you listen to these pretentious a-holes, they go, you listen to NPR, something, they go, brought to you by a grant from the Carnegie Foundation. Carnegie?
I have heard.
Carnegie, you pretentious a-holes. It's Carnegie. That's how. That's what they call it. It's not Carnegie Hall. And if you listen, we called it Iran. It's now Iran.
Sure.
Remember? Remember, it was always Iraq. It's now Iraq.
Sure.
The biggest one, it was always Hiroshima. It was Hiroshima the entire time we were bombing it, but it switched over to Hiroshima. Why? Because you guys are pretentious a-holes who want to lord your pronunciation of stuff over everybody. It's a weird, subtle, quiet correction. Shut up. We know what it is. It's Carnegie Hall, not Carnegie. Jesus Christ. No wonder no one listens to you.
Oh, they're so boring.
All right. Now, number one, Christmas lights.
Christmas lights.
Ace Man, how could you have a beef with Christmas lights? What's the beef? Well, I'll tell you what. Christmas lights used to come out, you know, middle of November, something like that. It was getting cold outside. You could smell a little pumpkin and cinnamon and nutmeg in the air. And it was Christmas time. Mm-hmm. That's when Christmas lights came out, and that's what it signified. Now, if you go to any strip mall, there's Christmas lights everywhere, and it's year round. The check cashing place has Christmas lights on it. The pawn shop has got Christmas lights hanging all over the place. Strip clubs, Indian food restaurants, the Korean joints. God, it's always, this is not, no. Someone has to explain to these folks, we don't do it this way. The baby Jesus, not a fan of you celebrating him in the form of lights in a pawn shop. It's not the way it works.
I'd like to believe we don't.
Bust them out and put them back.
I'd like to believe we don't do it that way. You're wrong. We do it that way.
We have an ordinance for everything in this goddamn town. How about the Christmas lights can't come out until November 15th?
Fine. And have to go away.
They gotta go away.
First of the year, even. I mean, yeah. You really gotta get them down quick.
And by the way, if you're place sells golf clubs, used drills, and bass guitars that junkies turned in to get another hit. You can't put Christmas lights up there. That's not what it's about.
Unless there's a major earthquake in the next 10 minutes, Kevin is going to be yelling at the earthquake prediction guy
coming up now.
On the Kevin Bean Show.
I mean, really, though, come on. At some point, you have to admit.
Ralph Garbutt is on vacation. He will return on Monday. In the meantime, it's Friday. Filling in is Mr. Movie Phone himself, our friend Russ Leatherman. Movie Phone, of course, celebrating his 20th anniversary right now by giving away 20,000 movie tickets, plus one lucky movie fan wins free movie tickets for life. How's that for a good deal? MoviePhone.com is the site. Russ, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm fantastic. Happy Friday.
Thank you.
And to you as well. You know, we're getting into that time of the year. I know it's not quite holiday time, but it does seem like every weekend there's multiple movies opening up with a little something for everybody, and this weekend looks like no exception.
Yeah, that's true. Big releases, big studio releases, and then the smaller specialty movies that a lot of us like. But let's start with the big one. Everybody's talking about it. Certainly you've seen it on the TV. Secretariat, right? Now everybody knows the story, right?
No.
I don't know. I don't think a lot of young people remember horse racing from the 70s as a category.
Well, this is this was my first really experience with horse racing. I didn't know anything about it until Secretariat, which this is going all the way back to 1973, is a horse that won the Triple Crown. No horse has done it since then. Diane Lane plays the owner of this horse. It was a male-dominated sport. She gets in there. She says she's going to take this horse all the way to the Triple Crown, and guess what happens?
The Triple Crown is three races?
Yeah, it is the Kentucky Derby.
Okay.
Is it the Belmont?
The Preakness?
The Preakness and the Belmont. That's absolutely right. Yeah.
Exactly. And the horses just don't ever win all three, and Secretariat did. Let's listen to a clip from Secretariat.
So I'll buy that horse of yours right now. $7 million. All cash.
If he does what I think he'll do, his value will double, if not triple.
You do know what you're saying. You're guaranteeing that this horse is going to win the Triple Crown. The Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont. Three races, three states, in just 5 weeks. Hasn't been done in 25 years.
That is exactly what I'm saying.
$8 million.
No.
You're that stubborn.
I'm that right.
Yeah.
Ooh, look at that. Now, Mr. Movie Phone, I've seen the trailers for this on the TV, and I know it's a Disney movie. It looks like it's fun for the whole family. But is there actually some drama in it? I mean, should I care whether this horse wins or not?
Well, you know whether the horse wins or not, right? So that's taken out of the equation. That's Diane Lane you heard there and John Malkovich. And here's the thing with this movie. You could take Michael Orr from The Blind Side, replace Secretariat with Michael Orr, and then take Secretariat out of Secretariat and put it in The Blind Side, and you pretty much have the same movie. that make any sense to anybody?
Only yes. A secretariat's homeless.
which he is for a while. This is exactly the same movie, right? It's one of those big sports triumph over adversity kinds of movies, and it's a glossy studio production. There's nothing wrong with it, right? Like, I'm in, but just by a nose.
Look what you did, by a nose.
And we should give some credit for Sarah Jessica Parker, who I understand plays an outstanding secretariat, too.
Oh, wow. Yeah, she's horse number six.
Let's move on to the worst movie of the weekend and perhaps the year based on what I've seen in the trailers, and it's the new Katherine Heigl POS called Life as We Know It.
First of all, shut up, Lisa. Second of all, why don't you let Mr. Movie Phone tell us about it?
Yeah, let the man talk.
Bean has already deemed this movie a turd.
Is he right?
Am I right?
Well, you might be on to something.
All right.
because you have Katherine Heigl, you have Josh Duhamel, mm-hmm. right? They're best friends. They're married. They have a baby. But the baby dies. Right? There's a dead baby in the movie.
And then
these two opposites, they get together, but now there's a baby involved, opposites attract, and everybody lives happily ever after. Not giving it away, that's just kind of what happens.
The baby dies. No, well, the parents of the baby die.
I'm sorry. There's no
very different.
Wow, that's a different movie.
Dead baby.
Such a downer.
Okay, so dead baby or no dead baby?
No dead baby.
All right, then I'm definitely out.
There are dead parents.
Though. Okay, all right.
Wow, I don't know where my mind was.
Wow.
that couldn't have been more far off. Okay.
I'm so confused.
Yeah, I'm confused. Okay, so Katherine Heigl, right? Yes. Josh Duhamel.
Yes.
She's likable. I like her.
Is it just me, or is Katherine Heigl on a one-way road to Jennifer Aniston town?
Well, that may be.
She is.
Yeah, she's so unlikable and unwatchable, in my opinion.
That means she's unlikable.
Except unlike Jennifer Aniston, she's getting worse looking.
Wow. Well, by the way, and Jennifer Aniston, certainly more charming, I think. I still think that Katherine Heigl has some of that stank on her from, you know, the whole Grey's Anatomy, the writers. It was their fault.
Yeah, she was evil. She said evil things. You just don't say.
And she just keeps playing the same role over and over and over again. So, again, unless you got $10 burning a hole in your pocket, I wouldn't go to this movie. And just to be clear, there are no dead babies.
Okay. All right, good.
All right, let's skip the clip on that one then, since we all know how we feel, and move on to the one that we're most excited about. We're actually talking to Edward Norton next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show about this one. He co-stars with Robert De Niro. It's called Stone. What's the deal?
Yeah, well, Ed Norton is awesome. Robert De Niro. You have Mila Jovovich in the movie, and Norton plays a prisoner. I'll get that. No, I'm kidding. Norton plays a prisoner who wants to get paroled early. De Niro is the parole officer, so he sends in Norton sends in Mila Jovovich, who is his wife, to manipulate De Niro, the parole officer.
And how's that not going to work? I mean, that's a guarantee with her.
You have no idea how that's going to work. Let's play a clip from Stone.
I think I deserve to be free. I do.
Why? Because you did the time?
Seriously, let me ask you something, you know. Why you just sit there like asking me these questions like you never done nothing, man? What, you know, why you get to walk around free and I don't?
I wasn't convicted of a crime.
You never did anything bad. Never did anybody no wrong. Had to be forgiven for nothing.
I never broke the law.
What, you never got a speeding ticket? You never backed somebody up in a bar fight? Vietnam, you never killed some kid? How long you get to keep judging a person for one bad thing they done?
Yeah.
Okay, Ed Norton is a badass.
Yeah.
Right. He doesn't sound like
he's a badass with cornrows.
You know, you put him in the cornrows, you slick his hair back, whatever. He is just a badass. And Mila Jovovich in this movie?
Yeah.
There's a lot of nudity. Let me put it that way.
All right.
Oh, my God.
And let me just say this. You could hang a coat, a couple pairs of pants, and an umbrella on those things.
They kept it cold, huh?
Boy, there's a lot of hanging room, if you know what I'm saying.
I'm in. And no dead babies.
And actually, it's an awesome movie, and it's one of the smaller independent films.
Excellent.
That if you don't want to go see a big studio thing like Secretariat or whatever, this one's definitely one to go check out.
I think it's only playing like in two places in Los Angeles, so you'll need to check whatever city you're in, you'll need to check where it is.
Yeah, at moviephone.com. And by the way, that's the crime, right? Is you get Life as We Know It on 4,000 screens in this movie up too.
Yeah,
absolutely. That's true. Can get all the reviews and showtimes at moviephone.com, and don't miss Russ's 6-second reviews at 6secondreviews.com if you're really, really busy and you need it that fast. Russ, have a great weekend, man.
No,
thanks for filling in for Ralph.
No dead babies. That's my motto.
All okay. Right. Hey, Kevin and Bean, this email begins from Matt. Thanks for ruining Disneyland for me. I was on a short 3.5-day holiday in Los Angeles from Wednesday to Saturday last week. My flight is a flight attendant. On Thursday, we took our daughter to Disneyland. Well, I tuned into your show that morning, and I found myself listening to the earthquake prediction guy. Thanks to him and you, I freaked out on every ride, wondering how I would get off the ride or out of the ride if an earthquake actually hit during the ride. All because you had the guy on from Quake Prediction. It actually kept me on edge the whole time. It ruined my trip to Los Angeles. Thanks for nothing, asshats. That's Matt, by the way, who is now safely back home in Sydney, Australia. He says he will be watching the predictions from now on simply for entertainment value.
Yeah.
But apparently Quake Prediction guy ruined his visit with his little daughter, his poor little sad daughter, trying to just take in Disneyland.
We got a lot of emails about that. This being noticed this on Twitter because a lot of people retweeted Luke from QuakePrediction.com. They retweeted his tweet.
Right.
And we talked to Luke. Luke is on the phone now. Hi, Luke.
Hey, good morning.
All right, now I've got some clips that I would just like to catch people up on. Now, we talked to you on the day that it was supposed to hit. Is that correct, the first time?
I think, yeah, it was the morning of the 30th.
Morning of. All right, and here's what he had to say.
Yeah, it should hit today or tomorrow, most likely today. 98%
chance. 98%
chance,
and he said it was between a 6.0 and a 7.0. All right, and then Caltech came out and said, hey, you can't predict earthquakes. So then we called after that day, and he said
there would absolutely be an earthquake above 5.5 by Monday.
All right. So then that was by this Monday.
All right.
And then that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then we talked to him, and he said,
if you look on the latest LA frictional heating graph at quakeprediction.com, you'll see the I've taken that into account now, and the
sure.
largest signal is on October 7th now.
Okay. So October 7th was yesterday.
Right. Okay. So now we're caught up.
So now all three predictions, failure.
Right.
And Luke is back on the phone. Now, Luke.
Luke, first of all, we have mad respect for you for continuing to come on, knowing that you're going to get beat up. But in fact, in our defense, you are full of crap.
Well, there was one peak in frictional heating on September 14th, which was a 5.0 in Calexico. There was another peak on September 30th, which was
all right.
4.4.
But Luke. The predictions that you made didn't come true. How, like, at what point do you actually look in the mirror and go, hey, I'm making predictions that aren't coming true.
I need to stop.
I should stop this.
Well, today's the window for the quake that's coming right now is between the 6th, 7th, and 8th, and yesterday was the peak, so the window is still open for that quake.
You said it was the 8th. You said it was the most likely the 8th.
The 7th. I think 7th is
right.
The peak. Yeah.
7th.
Are you disappointed or embarrassed or anything when you make these predictions and they don't come true, though, Luke?
Well, we had the 4.4 on September 30th, which was a peak in frictional heating.
Right.
And now,
but
and
again,
now,
that's not what you predicted, though.
And by the way, he didn't just predict a 6.0 to 7.0. He predicted via Twitter a 6.5 to 7.0.
This would be like if every night I went to a Yankees game and swore to my friends that the Yankees were going to score 10 runs. Guys, I'm telling you, trust me on this. I know what I'm talking about. I've analyzed baseball statistics. I know the Yankees. They're going to score 10 runs tonight. And then they score two, and I go, well, they scored two. You understand? It's not the same prediction.
But then you say, but they're going to score 10 tomorrow. And then
right,
you go tomorrow, and they don't.
And they don't score 10. They score four of that. It's still not 10. You're still wrong, Luke. You need to stop. Or be right. One of the two. Either be right or stop being wrong.
Well, you're right as far as the magnitude. The magnitude is very difficult to predict, but the...
You predicted it. Wait a minute. Hold on. You predicted a magnitude. You said...
Yeah, don't do that.
6.5 to 7.0, which is massive. And you tweeted that, and everybody retweeted, and everybody got scared, and it didn't happen. So... At what point do you go, I'm bad, I'm not going to do this anymore?
Well, the magnitude, you're right, is definitely difficult. That maybe should be just left off in the future.
Okay.
But,
good start.
Look, if you're going to predict 3.9s, I could do that all day. They happen everywhere, thousands of times a day.
Look, we had another listener named Dano from Long Beach, California, who wrote in, hey, I was all set to do some serious looting at my local stores. Where the hell is the earthquake that moron predicted? I mean, look, people are listening, and they want to believe they're making plans, Luke, and you're screwing people up.
Luke, come on now. At some point, you just have to go, because we asked about your schooling, for those that didn't hear last time, and look, you can be a genius without schooling, no question.
Right.
But the people who are schooled and who do have, you know, doctorates and are scientists and work at Caltech and all, they say you can't predict earthquakes. And then you say, wait a minute, yes, I can. And then you're wrong and we call you on it and you're wrong and we call you on it and you're wrong and we call. I mean, really, how long is this going to go on?
Well, as far as the
I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. You can't predict earthquakes. Say it.
Well, the window for the forecast for the October 7th is still open through today. So
sure.
Still
okay.
Okay, right. But if it doesn't happen today,
all right, then we'll talk to you on Monday.
And then, I don't want to talk to Luke on Monday.
This is what's going to happen because he gives himself a little wiggle room, and then there's no earthquake today, and then we talk to him on Monday, and he'll say, "Well, the window and the sound and the heat friction, and I'm taking that into account now. It's going to be this Thursday. You're going to keep predicting an earthquake
until there is one,
and then you're going to call yourself a genius." But at some point, aren't you not a genius because you're just dead 100% wrong?
Well, the September 14th peak produced a 5.0. The September 30th produced a 4.4 and 180 aftershocks.
Okay, you didn't say any. You didn't predict any of that. Those were not in your predictions. Your prediction was 6.5 to 7.0. Now, that scares people because that would be devastating.
That's major. Yeah, it's a big earthquake. People die in a 7.0 earthquake.
So you can't, when we say you're wrong, you can't go back to 4.1s and say, look, I'm right, because that's not what you predicted.
Yeah, you're right. The magnitude is very difficult to predict.
Right, but you're doing it!
Because you can't predict magnitude.
You're predicting it! You're the only person that's trying to convince people that you can.
We didn't make you do that.
We didn't force you to predict it.
You put the magnitude in your Twitter, in your tweet.
Luke, you have to stop. That's what we're telling you. You have to stop. This can't be fun for you. This can't be satisfying for you to be wrong. Right?
You're scaring people. People who...
you're right as far as the magnitude, but the peak in frictional heating on September 30th did produce a significant earthquake.
We're not making any kind of leeway here.
But you don't get credit for that.
Luke, you got 14,000 followers on Twitter, and far more than that are hearing this conversation right now, and you're scaring people. We're just saying maybe stop because you can't do it.
It's not possible. What do you say when Caltech says you cannot predict earthquakes? Are they just hiding that from us because they don't want us to know they can?
Well, have you ever seen openhazards.com?
No.
Mm-mm.
No.
NextEarthquake.com, they use seismic gaps, which is what I used to use until I used the heat.
Right. And are they accurate ever?
Well,
I can tell you the answer. No.
They don't pin it down to the day, no.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
You know why?
Well, they can't be less accurate than you are, Luke. I mean, really.
Well, Frank Condon, which uses the ultra-low frequency, and Jack Coles, which uses the radio frequency, they seem to think
you are a fountain of BS.
Look, I get that you're fascinated with earthquakes and you want to be able to predict them. I respect your science your interest in the science, but it can't be done at this point, Luke, and maybe you ought to keep it to yourself so you don't scare people until it can be done. That's the only recommendation I'm going to make.
That's a good recommendation.
Are you going to do it? Wait, are you going to do it?
Well, let's see if this window produces a significant earthquake, right.
Nothing happens today.
So this window ends tonight at midnight, okay? And then we're going to talk to you on Monday.
No, we're not going to.
I'm
out.
Yes,
I'm out.
No, I'm going to talk to this guy every day until he stops.
Just have him promise that he won't publish this anymore.
On Monday, you will take down quakepredictions.com. You'll literally take it off the internet.
Oh, my goodness.
And admit that you're full of crap.
If we don't have a 5.0 in the Los Angeles area.
Now, don't go down to 5.0, dude, because 4.9, 5.0, that stuff happens all the time. That's not
you
a prediction.
You were saying 6.9 as recently as this past hour on your Twitter feed. You were predicting a 6.9 during the next 16 hours, you said.
Okay, so if something over a 6.0 doesn't happen today, we'll talk to you on Monday, and you'll take your site down. Because you're a lying liar who lies.
Oh, man. We'll definitely think about it, that's for sure.
Yeah! All right, we're making some progress.
Wow. All right, Luke, listen, we're out of time. Again, I respect you for coming on, but time
especially
for a new hobby.
Especially considering that you're wrong.
I appreciate you guys. You guys are fun to listen to.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, thanks. You.
Good luck to you, Luke.
Have a good
weekend.
Bye, Luke.
He's going to get the last laugh out there in Florida, by the way, when you guys are swimming in the ocean in about 20 minutes.
He's the, how can he think we're fun to listen to?
I know.
We insult him from the start to the beginning.
I know. Jessica writes in to tell us, by the way, she went to the official earthquake website, the USGS.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There was a 6.4 in the Aleutian Islands of Alaska this morning.
Okay. What does that mean?
That is not close.
I'm just saying, 6.4 didn't happen in Southern California as he predicted, but it did happen essentially on the west coast of the United States.
Don't even
I'm
give
not giving
him
credit.
Room.
I'm not giving him credit. Right. I'm
Earth
not saying
is
that.
Huge. Okay, Earth is huge. Big.
I'm just saying it's interesting, that's all. Hey, before we get into the showbiz beat, ladies and gentlemen, please check your calendars. Today is, in fact, the 8th of October.
This one's called No Dead Babies! 1, 2, 3, 4!
Fellas, it was sounding great, but I could have used a little more cowbell.
I'm with you.
I'm with you. Kevin on the cowbell, that is Mel Fodd for right now.
I agree.
It's time for the showbiz beat. Psycho Mike filling in for Ralph Garman. What you talking about?
You know, that's where the real talent lies.
Thank you.
In the band.
Thank you.
We all know it, Kevin.
Thank you. I'm the anchor.
It's you're like Travis Barker and Blink. We all kind of just understand you're the guy who holds us together.
I'm the anchor in a boat that's trying to move.
real quick. Everybody's excited about Jackass 3D.
Oh, it's going to be the best movie of the year.
That is next Friday. It comes out. It hits theaters. You get a chance to see it early if you are one of the first five callers. 1-800-520-1067. Oh, I'm sorry. Is it 10?
Yes, 10
Okay,
callers.
I'm sorry. 10 callers. So call in to Chip. Be the first 10 callers, and you get a chance to see it early. You get 2 days early to see one of the most anticipated movies in the world.
In my lifetime.
Yeah.
And you get to talk to the bass player from Mel Fodd when you call, by the way. There's a bonus.
What
for you.
A, yep. What a huge bonus. Look at here.
Okay.
I like Matt Kemp a lot, center fielder for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And I know this is not a sports report. This is a showbiz report. But he happens to be dating one of the biggest pop stars in the world, in Rihanna.
Right.
And rumors are that he's going to make an honest woman out of her.
Right.
And I'm all for love.
Right.
Okay? But stop it, Matt Kemp.
Why?
And this is why. Maybe a high-powered, big-money marriage is not what the Dodgers need right now!
Yeah, the Dodgers really aren't doing anything right
they
now.
They don't need distractions, is what Mike is suggesting.
What I'm saying is more marriage in the Dodgers arena with really rich, powerful people. Not exactly what we're looking for.
So
let's just hold off on the marriage tip when you got a ton of dough and your wife may be, you know, looking to crack into that dough and we need to distract you away from playing baseball in a Dodgers uniform. Don't do that.
You're saying
just
that because
out.
Of the owners of the Dodgers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because Rihanna has her own money.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Just saying.
It doesn't mean that she's still going to be abroad when that marriage dissolves and be like, oh, 50%
oh,
of everything.
On.
Poor Mike.
Stupid Antiguan broad.
You sound like you've been through that.
No. Juliette Lewis, I just found out about the story. She was in a car accident. TMZ says she's okay, and so were the other passengers, but the car she was in was completely totaled. They were T-boned out of nowhere.
But they're okay.
Yeah, Juliette Lewis is doing fine. She made a quick recovery. Angelina from the Jersey Shore, Angelina Pivarnik, which sounds oddly un-Italian.
Yeah.
She says that the living conditions were hell.
She's the one that left or got kicked out or whatever?
That's right. Yeah. Just last episode, she was kicked off the show for the second time, really. During the first season, she left out of the blue because she just couldn't seem to get along with the rest of the cast. Us Weekly says that Mike the Situation, Sorrentino, and Vinny G called her a whale. And fellow housemates left a plethora of goodies on her bed. Angie says she found a condom covered in whipped cream and I don't know what whipped cream and one occasion and in another grated cheese and olive oil. Well, you know,
he's come on now.
Trying to lay down a nice
it doesn't happen to everybody.
Italian marinade for. The MTV diva says she is now back at home with her mom and admits her head is effed up and is now in therapy over
her
all the drama.
Her head was effed up before she went on the Jersey Shore. Let's face it. She's a nightmare.
Yeah, she is a nightmare. Nobody can seem to get along with her, and I can understand those people in that house are pretty abrasive to begin with, but no one seems to like her. She can't keep her mouth shut. And when you start off the show by saying, I'm the Long Island Kim Kardashian,
yeah,
it's going to be hard for people to live with me because I'm so hot.
It's funny that those people can't get, like, she's worse by far than all of the rest of those people in the house.
Yeah.
That's impossible.
And here's another thing, hot people out there. For the most part, we have a luxury of working for this radio station and for this radio show. We get to meet a lot of celebrities that are off the charts good looking, okay? And none of those people would ever announce to a room that they are the hottest person on the planet.
No, they tend to be.
Yeah.
I am hot. Welcome.
Pretty modest about themselves.
So if you're the low-grade reality star and you're going around talking about how you are the hottest girl on the planet, I'm just saying it doesn't do well for you in actually increasing your credibility in the good-looking department.
Right.
Sure. That's what sinks celebrities like Tila Tequila, because they're all about, hey, look at me. Aren't I hot? Aren't I sexy? Don't you want to have sex with me? And you end up being repulsed by her.
Anybody that works as a bartender or a waitress will tell you, the guy going around the club ordering the most expensive champagne and then throwing it around, making it rain, probably the guy who can least afford to do that.
Yeah.
Same thing goes for the good looks. Johnny Depp, a guy who Angelina could learn something from. Not only incredibly handsome, of course, so talented.
Sure.
Never has a bad word been said about this guy in Hollywood. Let's remember, it wasn't too long ago he gave a $4,000 tip. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, the guy's a very nice guy. Well... Dressed in full costume as Jack Sparrow, he showed up in a London elementary school to help Beatrice Delap. She sent the actor a note requesting that he help her in mutiny against her teachers.
He must have loved that. It's so cute.
How old?
She's 9 years old.
I didn't even know what mutiny was when I was nine.
Yeah. This chick is clearly awesome. But how awesome is Johnny Depp in turn for showing up unannounced in full Captain Jack Sparrow costume to help her with her mutiny?
That is the best.
Celebrity birthdays today. I don't have a list. It doesn't matter. You know why? Because we need to focus on the fact that it's Nick Cannon's 30th birthday.
Okay. Okay.
And now, hating on people in the entertainment industry simply because you don't like their work is not something I'm for. I hate him because he's bad. He's a bad person.
Why?
He's now challenging Eminem to a boxing match because he doesn't like something that Eminem said 3 years ago in a song about him and his wife, Mariah Carey. And also, being that it's his 30th birthday, let me remind you that he had this huge party in New York City.
That's right.
And he was charging $25,000 for tweets about the party.
That's right.
And also another 25 G's if you wanted to be a part of the gifting bags.
Yes.
Okay. Mariah Carey and him have to be together worth close to $1 billion. And that's no exaggeration. She's so, so freaking wealthy.
Yeah.
And he's going to start charging $25,000 so that you can get your company in there.
Yeah.
9.7% unemployment rate. For the fourth straight month, this country has lost jobs. And this a-hole, who's worth close to $1 billion, is going to start charging to promote his... No!
So you love him?
No.
All right.
No, I don't. All right. And Kristen Bell, good on you. She charged some money to have some promotion involved with her birthday party. Oh, 100% of the proceeds going right to charity.
Yep. There you
That's
go.
That's how you do it, Nick Cannon.
That would be the opposite. I say hounds of hell on Nick Cannon.
Yeah.
Or and whoever. Or whatever his name is.
Defuse the cannon.
I like it.
Wow, that's not a very good slogan.
That's showbiz beat. Right.
Super big thrill. Oscar-nominated actor Ed Norton is back in a new film this weekend with Robert De Niro called Stone. We will talk to Mr. Norton coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And the exact opposite of a guy like Edward Norton is a guy like The Situation, who's on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show from Jersey Shore. Hey, Situation, how are you?
I thought you were going to say it's a super big thrill to have The Situation on the phone.
No, we're talking about Edward Norton. And we just want to get in a rush past this interview so that we can get to Mr. Norton.
Whatever. All right, I understand. All right.
First of all, Situation, is there any way you can turn the music down a little bit so we can have a conversation with you? You're not at a club right now.
Yo, it's going to be tough. I'm feeling it right now. All I've been drinking a little bit of Situation Special Tonic, and the fists are up in the air. They're straight pumping. I'm beating the beat up.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Do you have to have someone push your back in order to get to that tonic, or how does that work? Situation?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Let's talk about last night's episode of The Jersey Shore. Is that show still on?
Are you kidding me? It's one of the most popular shows in the world.
Okay. I missed it. Unfortunately, I was busy. So can you catch me up?
Look, I'm going to give you a little recap of last night's episode.
Okay, all right, good.
It all starts off with, of course, Angelina, who has left the house because she's a dirty wildebeest, and we hate her.
Right.
So she made the very smart and prudent decision to leave the Jersey Shore house. So now we got this extra room, you know, her bed, her stuff, whatnot.
Sure. Yeah.
And, Paulie and I took it upon ourselves to take her bed and try to lift it out of the house, but we encountered some problems.
Go your way. Go that way. No, the other way, dog. We had a situation. We got to come out with that side first.
straight into the bathroom with that joint. Wow. Left. No, no, the other way.
Stuck.
Wait, bring it back out. Now rotate it this way.
You are not smart people.
Can we jimmy it out? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Truth be told, now that I listen back to that clip, I'm putting myself mentally there. We didn't have a problem getting the bed out of the doorway. It was our muscular shoulders were so broad.
Is that what
there was no way we could fit through a normal doorway. MTV should know better.
It didn't look like that. It looked like it was the bed.
I'm just that swole. Look at my arms.
Yeah, we can't see you.
So now that we've thrown out the bed, we made room for the rest of the place. Now, I'm thinking about putting a gym in there, by the way.
Oh.
We saw that she had a raggedy-ass, low-grade, Payless shoes. We had to throw those out, too.
Right.
Oh, bro, we got some shoes to throw out. Guess what? You left. Your stuff's in the garbage, girl. Oh, that might have been a problem.
Sorry about that. Whoever's car that was. I was just throwing random shoes over the fence.
Well, what could go wrong with that?
So it's time to celebrate. Really celebrate because that disgusting hamster has left the house.
Right.
So we got some lobsters, of course. We got champagne. We got lobsters.
That's how you do.
The dumb broads. The scratchia, these dumb broads, we come home, Jenny and Snooks, they don't like the fact that we're going to throw them lobsters in the hot water. That's how you cook them, though, you know?
Sure.
They're these animal rights. They don't like that, the fact that we're going to cook them. So these dumb broads, what do? They try to save them. Listen to this.
Me and Jenny decided to save one of the lobsters. So Jenny gets a bowl of water. She brings it into the room. We'll keep it as a pet. And, you know, we'll feed it and save it. I'm not sure what lobsters eat, but I think they eat, like, insects or something. So I was going to feed them, like, worms.
Oh, that's perfect. Now I'm in. I didn't know it was like that.
Look, first off, worms ain't insects. Secondly, they throw it in fresh water. The dinghy broads throw it in fresh water. They're torturing it worse than I would have if I put it in the big pot.
Yeah, that's true.
Speaking of that, Lisa May, I got a worm I'd like to feed to myself.
Right. Oh. Okay, situation. We don't need to go there. Come on.
You know what else lives in fresh water?
What?
An eel. I got a freshwater eel right here.
All right.
I'll
get that phone. Yeah.
Hey, yo, Paulie D, get the phone.
Oh, is he in there with you?
Yeah. All yeah. Right. You know, we're just hanging out, fist pumping.
All right.
So, hey, you guys remember how Vinny had this big date set up with this beautiful girl, supposedly, that
right.
he met up at the club, right?
Right.
Well, she stood him up. And it was kind of sad. You know, I watched him get played like an accordion at the Knights of Columbus Fair.
Wasn't that the one where he was begging her?
Hey, he's like a little punk. He's
sad.
On the phone, keeps calling her, blowing her up, leaving so many messages that she's got a voice box that's totally full.
Wow.
Looking like a little punk, not a player like the situation. Well, turns out, finally she's come around and they're going to hang out. She shows up at the club and my eyes almost, you know, just bank out my head.
Yo, Vinny's girl is looking smoking. This is one of the hottest girls I've seen in Miami, definitely. You don't want to leave a chick like that by herself. Everybody knows I'm a pimp. You know, that's how it is, man. My grandpappy was a pimp. His grandpappy was a pimp. I'm about to get to business right now.
That's right.
Do you know what pimp means?
Yeah.
Okay.
P-I-M-P. That's how I live, okay?
Right. Sure.
P-I-M-P, I get the girls DTF 24-7. ASAP,
right.
They're ready for it. You know, when I got on DTWS, all the girls went crazy.
Sure.
That's a fact.
All right.
I did it DIY.
Okay.
So listen here. It's time for me to pull the robbery because I'm feeling Vinny's girl.
Sure.
She's beautiful, and she's situations girl.
And he can't handle her.
I decided that. That's right.
Right.
He's not man enough to handle
sure.
her.
Sure.
So I go in there. I'm making my moves. I'm being a little bit aggressive, but that's what I do because I'm going to come from a long line of players.
Sure.
And the rest of the cast, they're not too happy with my antics.
Mike is getting on our nerves, and he is getting overwhelming. He doesn't know when to shut up, and he takes things too far. We all seen it. We all heard it, and we're all tired of it.
I'm going to f*** you up. I don't give a f***. If I see him, I'm going to f*** up.
They're not too happy with me.
No.
That's how last night's show ended. So obviously there's going to be some tension that's going to come, you know, come to a boil on the next episode.
You're going to get effed up. What's happening?
Beat the beat up.
All right.
Here we go.
Oh, I see. Dance party's breaking out. You can't stop it. I got you.
Lisa May.
Right.
Hey, remember that freshwater eel I was talking about?
Gotta go.
Yeah.
Gotta go.
Fridays are always great on the Kevin and Bean Show because that means the return of Melfun. Once a year we do it. In fact, we do it for the entire month of Rocktober.
Eating the triple doesn't make it. What's that, Lisa? What are you playing?
My keyboard.
Well, that doesn't make it either.
It's great.
By the way, let's fever. And the only prescription is more cowbell.
That's what I'm
let's
talking
give it up
about.
For Kevin and the cowbell solo, by the way. Come on. That was very, very strong.
Was that the first Melfon solo?
It was.
I think so. Yeah!
Which, by the way, is the first step toward any band breaking up. Once members start to say, I'm not down with your BS. I need my own spotlight.
I'm going solo.
I don't blame you, man. You can take that cowbell and make big money out of that. All right, I'm so happy to report that this is the final Kevin Amin Showbiz Beat because Ralph Garman returns on Monday, and believe me, no one's more excited about that than we are.
Yeah,
and I got a couple
of emails about how much better he is than us.
We know. We got it.
Take it easy.
I got two interesting news stories for you this hour, both involving CNN's Anderson Cooper. First of all, I know everybody loves Anderson Cooper. First of all, he was on the Ellen DeGeneres show this week, and he talked about how he was so shocked by the use of the very popular term "That's So Gay" in the film trailer for the new Vince Vaughn film. Apparently, Ron Howard has made a movie called The Dilemma, and Vince Vaughn says, quote, "Electric cars are gay, not homosexual gay, but my parents are chaperoning the dance gay." And Anderson Cooper says he was just shocked by that. He says not only that they put it in the movie, but they thought it was okay to put that in a preview for the movie to get people to go see it. We've got to do something to make those words unacceptable because those words are hurting kids. We've talked about this occasionally on our show, but I kind of get the impression that "That's So Gay" doesn't have anything to do with homosexuality. The word gay has taken on a completely different meaning than you have sex with men or with women, right?
I think that's true as well, but I don't know. I mean,
I don't know.
I know that for me, when I say it, I'm not thinking of gay people.
Right.
And I don't think gay people are offended when I say it. But, I mean,
Anderson Cooper is.
I don't even know. Well, yeah, but he's not, you know.
But didn't it start with guys teasing guys about not being manly? Isn't that where it started?
Probably. I think so.
So that's kind of what that means.
Yeah, I think it's generational, too. I mean, I know people from my generation and even younger, the correlation to homosexuality has been almost completely removed. Because you'll just say, oh, that video game's gay. You know, and it has nothing to do with being bad or good. It does have something to do with being bad or good.
Right, but it doesn't have anything to do with sexuality.
Right, I mean, it's not flipped.
In that respect,
emasculation or anything.
In that respect, it's similar to the word retard or retarded in that at this point, almost no one who uses that word is actually thinking of a mentally disabled person. They're thinking of a completely different meaning of the word.
Right.
But there are still people who are offended by that, too. So you can't please all the people all the time, I guess. But it was interesting that Anderson Cooper took that opportunity to discuss it on Ellen's show. And the other Anderson Cooper story, Kevin, you are going to be very excited about. This Sunday night, Anderson Cooper, as you know, is an occasional special correspondent on the 60 Minutes TV show. He is profiling Eminem, and details are starting to come out.
On 60 Minutes.
They captured Eminem in concert in New York at that Jay-Z show. They go back to his old Detroit neighborhood. I can't wait to see this. Eminem teaches Anderson Cooper how to rap.
No, no.
That's going to be on the show.
That is so gay.
I could have. Thank you.
He's retarded for doing that.
I could have guaranteed you that was going to be part of the story. It's part of every story. Is hey, rapper, show me how.
Hey, dancer, give me some moves.
All right. Anderson Cooper is taken through the creative process by Eminem, and listen to what Eminem says. People say that the word orange doesn't rhyme with anything, and that kind of pisses me off because I can think of a lot of things that rhyme with orange, says Eminem, who then starts rapping rhymes for orange for Anderson Cooper in the cameras and teaches Anderson how to rap. He also talks about in his interview that you'll see again Sunday night on 60 Minutes about the early years as the new kid in school. He was always picked on, how he became a star rapper despite being a white man in a predominantly black medium, and the drug addiction that nearly cost him his career. So if you are fascinated with Eminem as we are, he doesn't do a lot of interviews, but you'll definitely see him this weekend.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Rihanna has come out with quite a statement. She says that her sassy new red hairdo is great, but it has a downside, and that's that it grabs a lot of attention.
Well, she grabs attention, period, doesn't she?
Yeah, but I can see the red hair. The red hair definitely is even more noticeable than what she looked like before.
But that's not a shock, right? I mean, isn't that what you're going for? Her hair isn't just like red blonde. It's super bright, like it has batteries in it red.
It's Hayley Williams red is what it is.
Right, and when you do that, you're saying, hey, people, look at my head, which is fine. But don't be surprised when people look at your head.
Yeah.
That's it.
Absolutely. Max Weinberg in the news. He, of course, the longtime legendary drummer for Bruce Springsteen's E Street Band and was involved in both incarnations of Conan O'Brien's late night show. The Conan O'Brien show and also the Tonight Show, but he is not going to be part of the new TBS show. Well, now we may know why. He gave an interview recently that said that about 2 years ago, he was told that his heart condition was life-threatening. And what I love about this story is 2 years ago, he got that information and did nothing about it until this year.
Yeah, that is good.
He had to wait for a break.
He waited for over a year until he got himself a break. After Conan lost his job, he said, now I've got the free time to do it. And he had the surgery, and now he is completely recovered. He's going to continue to play for the E Street Band, but he says he's not going back to be part of Conan's new band. But he was terrific on that show. He's a great band leader on that show. Sure. I enjoyed him very much.
Taylor Swift is going to be on the cover of November's Glamour magazine. She talks about her new album, Speak Now. She also discusses her obsession with love and what she's looking for in the perfect guy. She says what she's looking for is a giant head and a disaster with the English language.
Yeah, Kevin!
That's great news for you.
Good luck,
isn't it, man?
What are the chances?
That's great.
Bruno Mars couldn't be any hotter right now. This is the fourth week in a row that his Just the Way You Are single is number one on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. Great album, by the way. He is also the musical guest on this weekend's Saturday Night Live. Even if you don't ordinarily watch the show, Jane Lynch is the host, and I know that's going to be hilarious. And they're probably going to make fun of Glee a lot, so I'm sure Omar's going to enjoy that as well. So check that out.
I believe we're running out of time, aren't we? Emma Watson can't do that. Toni Braxton can't do that. Toni Braxton is broke again. Mm-hmm. That's a weird story. She's that super hot singer. In the 90s, she went broke very publicly.
Yeah.
And now she's broke again.
Is she just a bad money manager? Is this her deal?
That would have to be your answer.
She just runs
it?
Right through it.
I think when you're dealing with the Mike Tysons, the MC Hammers, people like that who go through millions,
Michael Jackson,
you also have a staff. You know what I'm saying?
Where help you spend it.
You're doling out cash for no reason to a bunch of sycophants and hangers.
She needs a shoulder to cry on. I am here.
You're with Taylor Swift.
That's true.
That's
too.
Right. You're already cheating on Taylor. You guys just got together. Today's celebrity birthday is real fast. One of the longest running cast members of SNL, Daryl Hammond, is 55 years old today. Nick Cannon from America's Got Talent, Just for You Mike, is 30. Oscar winning actor Matt Damon, of course, he won for a screenplay, is 40 years old today. Paul Hogan of Crocodile Dundee fame and a famous Australian tax dodger. Nope, that's Hulk Hogan. He's 71 years old today. Angus T. Jones from Two and a Half Men. He's the kid. He's not exactly half a man anymore. He's 17 now.
Yeah.
Celebrating his birthday today. Emily Proctor from CSI Miami is 42. And Sigourney Weaver turns 61 today. And that is the Showbiz Beat.
Monday morning, an all-new program. We have Ask a Border Patrol Agent.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's interesting.
He's Mexican. Get him.
We have Harvey Levin. And we have your private messages. Wet public. When will people learn?
Oops.
All on Monday morning with the return of Ralph Garman. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I'm pretty good with the penises.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
What's your release?
Roll another one.
Kevin Bean are dummy.
Just like the other one.
What the hell is wrong with you, black man?
This one seems to be about to quit.
Where would we be without the Snoop Man?
I need another hit.
Well, obviously, we have a rapist in Linkin Park.
From what I hear, Shinoda's a big raper.
Or is it rapper? It's rapper.
Yeah! Roll another one.
All right, now I have a boner.
Just like the other one.
Is this the package we want?
This one seems to be about.
She even gave me a blumpkin.
I don't have another cent.
Let's breathe. You don't create a fine wine and then drink it right out of the grape bucket.
That's
a good point.
You are a thief of joy.
Just pass it around.
What's up, Kevin B?
Well, don't bogart that joint, my friend.
That sounds reasonable.
I just pass it on.
Come again! But those deadbeats are never leave!
How did you all feel when you knew the show was coming to an end?
I think we all had the same reaction, you know, which was, thank God.
Oh. Is that about everything? Anybody else want to be arrested or killed before we wrap this f***er?
I mean, that had it all. That had danger. It had puke. That's what this show's all about.
We're finished. We're done. Game over, man. Game over.
Okay, by my watch, it's margarita o'clock.